It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hello, Philip.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Had a good time last night.
You did? You and Phil Hochberg?
Yeah, we went out to Zando, that Christian Science coffee shop.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Scientology place. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, Deborah couldn't make it. So. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. AOL at jizz.com and all the ships at sea. It's the radio equivalent of 14 gallons of geese.
Oh, my.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast nationwide via the Westwood One radio thing. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, Don and Mike Show coming to you from Crappy radio station, our home station, WJFK FM in Washington, D.C.
Smells like death. Smells like death.
We are syndicated on the Westwood One Network via satellite to 55 affiliate stations with over 5 million Arbitron-rated listeners nationally, and we thank you for your support.
Thank ye.
Of course, it all starts at the top. Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy. From here, he is my left, and to your right. Once again, to the layered look. Hey, you know, we're back to calling him now Sweater Guy.
Sweater Guy!
Sweater Guy, Buzz Elston. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. It is January 26th. Mm-hmm. Our telephone number is 1-877-365-3636. I promise we will take lots of your telephone calls today.
Excellent.
Tomorrow will be a travel day on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we will board an airplane, fly down to Atlanta, in time for Rudy Martsky's Super Bowl party.
The party that you're invited to as well.
Which we will tape. And incidentally, just because we're going to tape a show,
mm-hmm.
there is no guarantee that it's going to be a great show.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, if anything bad happens,
mm-hmm.
we will leave it in. We're just gonna go and do it as if we were doing
mm-hmm.
a live show, and we bring the mini satellite with us.
Quite often, you know, when we're doing it that way, some bad things happen, and they actually turn out to be pretty funny.
Right. But the one thing that I don't want to happen is like to be starting to interview John Madden, and one of us screw up and go, "Wait, you know what?
Hold on,
let's take that again.
Let's redo it. I get the impression that people at Rudy's party will be so hard-pressed to talk to us, so unwilling to talk to us, that but as soon as we get them going, we're not going to be able to go back and do it again.
There will be no do-overs, no retakes. So tomorrow's a travel day. Then Friday, you will hear us from Atlanta for Super Bowl 30, whatever it is. And it's not Hotlanta. It's Coldlanta. Do you realize that the weather in Atlanta, while they don't have a foot of snow like we do,
right?
It's just as bad with freezing rain.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen the dudes on ESPN where... Why they have them outside?
I know.
I don't know. I mean, I understand.
They expected that it would be nice and pleasant down there.
I know that's why they had the tents outside to begin with.
Right.
Rob, whatever you're going to say.
I just can tell you that Friday they're calling for snow showers in Atlanta.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Bye-bye. Sometimes the boys just a little eager to jump on that third microphone.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, he likes to be on mic. He does indeed.
Just a little eager sometimes to be the third wheel.
The eager beaver.
Right. Just have your lunch. I'll let you know when I need you, Robbie. Okay, thank you, Rob.
Call me if his condition worsens.
With pleasure. Please me greatly.
Please me greatly.
It pleases me greatly. So why they have these ESPN guys outside, I don't know, because you're right, that I'm sure when they made the plans for Atlanta, they thought, I'll be in the mid-60s, maybe 70.
Yeah.
We'll put them outside the hotel in these big tents.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they had an ice storm this past weekend, as Rob just alluded to. It's going to snow on Friday. It's going to be cold. Why they don't move these guys inside...
I don't get it.
I don't know, and it's become almost a battle of machismo on ESPN, because some of the guys wear big overcoats and scarves and gloves, and other guys just sit out there in their sport jackets.
What's Berman wearing?
Berman...
Tank top.
Yeah, a wife beater. To be honest, I haven't seen Berman. I've seen Dan Patrick,
right,
who was wearing like a long trench coat and gloves and a big scarf. And, of course, Sterling Sharp,
mm-hmm.
who was wearing just a shiny suit.
A shiny suit, showing that he's a macho guy.
Wow. Right. And Chris Mortensen had on a parka.
Mm-hmm.
And conversely, Ron Jaworski had on just a, it just would look like a, right off the rack, a Sears Roebuck suit.
You know, Atlanta for the Super Bowl. We had a great time when we went up and did the show from that Super Bowl in Minnesota, because it was so cold and so unique, and it was different. But San Diego, I get excited. You know, Miami, it's fun. It's great to go down there and do the show from the Super Bowl, but Atlanta, I don't Sometimes I don't understand. Atlanta always strikes me as a place that's just unusual to hold a Super Bowl because, yeah, I know it's slightly warmer, but it's not one of those. People don't, like, travel to Atlanta for the climate.
I think they got it because they have a new stadium.
Is that what it is?
That's part of the deal, that they got that new dome stadium so they get the Super Bowl every couple of years.
It's hard to figure out in the NFL what the rule is. Is the rule that you can do it anywhere? I mean, anybody really could have it, or because they always seem to go, like, to the warm weather climate.
I think the rule is that technically, since they had it in Minnesota one time, and they had it in Detroit one time,
right,
technically they can say, yes, we have it anywhere.
Yeah.
But they only throw you that Minnesota or Detroit bone, like, once every 10 years.
Pretty much frequently it kind of goes Miami, New Orleans, San Diego, or Los Angeles.
Yeah, right. Those are the good spots. And now they don't have a team in Los Angeles.
Right.
So I think it's next year Tampa, then after that maybe San Francisco.
Tampa's cool.
I don't know. Well, listen, what are we bitching about? We'll be there doing the football show. That will be Friday.
It's funny to read, like, the columns and stuff, because it's like, it's a pretty neat job, I would think, to be a sports person, to go down there and be down there for Super Bowl week, but you can already read, I don't know if you've read the columns, but there's a little whining going on, you know, there's a little of the frustration where they talk about the weather. It's like, what's that sound you make when someone...
Oh, listen, before we get to the telephone calls, and before we get to the punishment for Michael Rockhead, which is happening on today's show,
yes,
I have to tell you, I pull in today, pull into work, drove my regular car and didn't drive the four-wheel drive in today because the roads in the D.C. area are absolutely fine.
Yeah, and hats off to the people that are doing that. They did a great job because it really is, I mean, they cleared them dry in many places.
Roads are down to pavement, so I come pulling in, and right as I turn the corner into the parking garage, I see this dude pulling into my parking space.
Hey.
Now, we have been through this, you know, umpteen million times on this show with people parking in our spots.
Man, the building owners have been great about it. I mean, they put up signs. They've, you know, they put little signs that say reserved. So, you know, they've done their part.
This guy is pulling into the spot from the space behind so that he can get, like, a running start to leave.
Ah.
So as he's fronting into my parking spot, I push my car up to the nose of his, and I laid on the horn. I rolled down the window. I said, hey, excuse me, pal. These are assigned spots. I said, this is my spot. I'm sorry, it's my spot. You're going to have to move the car back.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God.
I know. I'm trying to think who it was that was
doing
it.
I'll tell you exactly who
I'm wondering about. I've just got a theory, and I want to see if I'm right about that.
The guy, at that point, pulled out a badge.
It was the fire marshal?
And the guy said to me, hi, nice to meet you.
I can't believe it.
I am the Fairfax County fire marshal.
I cannot believe it. Because when we came in, the fire marshal's checking the whole sprinkler system down there, and they said all the cars are going to have to move out from under the garage. And of all the people that you had to bump into, I was wondering if it was the fire marshal.
He was the guy. And that's exactly what he said to me. He said, the sprinklers do not work in this building, in the underground garage.
Mm-hmm.
All the cars that are here must be moved, or they will be ticketed and they will be towed.
That is correct.
I would advise you, did you not move your car, Buzz?
No one told me.
You better go check and see if it's still there.
You don't know?
No.
No one told me.
No one.
Everything
Buzz,
was fine.
No one tells you anything, and I'm getting tired of that.
Yeah, me too.
I think Buzz should be told things.
Yes, please.
Buzz, there was a mass...
Jesus, Buzz.
There was a mass movement of people at about 2:15 today.
I've been here working.
Gordon Liddy, John Pop, Tammy, Terry, Carl. Everybody was down to the garage moving their cars out.
I've been in this room since 1:45. Buzz, I'm going to promise you that if I find anything out, I'm telling you from now
Thank
on.
Thank you. I appreciate
Buzz
that.
Buzz has been in here. Buzz, I mentioned to say, in all seriousness, your car is probably the only one that's in that garage
if it's, wow. If it's still there. Because this
there.
Guy, I want to tell you, this fire marshal, he had a real hard on.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy really... You know, he seemed pleasant enough, but he said to me, seriously,
right.
Don't park in this garage because all the cars in here must be moved.
Bob told me, one of the owners of the building, when I was pulling in, he was pulling out. He said, you have to park over in the church parking lot. Make sure you take your car over to the church parking lot.
Yeah, wonder,
all right.
Wonder if somebody could check, you know, and see if my car is still there. And if it is, I have the keys and they could move it.
You know, the thing is, the salespeople from our station, from WJFK here in Washington, someone said that there were spaces up on the top level. And Tom said to me, go park on the top level. There's probably a space there. So I went... And I was practically run off the road in the zeal of the salespeople to minimize the steps that they would take. And one of our sales guys had a Volvo or something like that and roared up to the top. And I see this space and I start to turn into it. And I see this person shake their head and drive back out onto Main Street because that was the last space they had. And Jeff Hedges, I was meaning to tell Jeff that he took two spaces up on the top shelf.
Sure, he did. He's Jeff Hedges.
So it's parking pandemonium today. Not that. Not that it's normally any cakewalk around here.
And do you know why this problem happened with the sprinklers?
No.
Do you know the young Republican, the new guy with the military haircut that works in the office back here?
Oh, the guy that we all, you know, have a problem with just basically because he's so serious?
He's a scary-looking dude.
He is scary, yes.
Apparently, yesterday, at some point, the emergency sprinklers went on, and the sprinkler directly over his car went on.
Yeah.
And drenched his car. And, like, froze it up or something.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but he somehow was the catalyst for the building's speakers, the sprinkler system
right.
being ratted out to the county.
So did he make a stink about it or something like that?
I don't know. You know, I couldn't figure out how else the people from the county, how else the fire marshal would figure out to show up today to know that the sprinklers don't work.
Well, it's funny when you know, people are creatures of habit.
Sure.
It is. Yeah, I just find it amusing when you see people that are disrupted out of their normal routine. Everybody was just, it was just one giant grumble.
Chaos.
Everybody's kind of,
what's his phone number, Robbie? That guy John?
John Normand is his name.
Well, he's not on the employee list.
He's a nice enough guy.
Yeah.
I've said hello to him, but that's about it. I'm still frightened of him.
Yeah. He has that Full Metal Jacket look about him. Hello, who's this?
This is John.
John Pop.
All right.
Johnny. Hi, Johnny.
Johnny.
No, not John Pop, the other John.
This is the John we're looking for.
Yes, it is.
Oh, this is the Mary John.
The new guy, John.
That's me.
Oh, hi, right. John. How you doing?
Real good. Yourself?
John, listen, can you tell us what happened with the sprinkler with your car yesterday?
It was actually on Monday. I went down to head to 7-Eleven to get some lunch, and it was raining. There was two heads that let loose right above my car.
Did it freeze up or anything like that?
No, actually it didn't. Chris helped me get it out of the way. He was the one who decided to get wet and move my car for me.
So did you call the county?
No, I didn't call anybody.
Right.
I just I ran into Dan downstairs.
Dan is the engineer.
Right. And asked him what to do about it, and he didn't know how to turn a thing off, so I think it was Dan and maybe Ben or the guy that owns the place that called the county.
Oh, okay. All right, got you. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, let me ask you something.
Sure.
You ever kill a man just to watch him die?
Always.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So that's what happened. I guess Chris sacrificed like a pneumonia and stuff to free John's car from the sprinklers.
That's
right. Well, they have birds living down there still, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I mean, I had a whole summer full of bird turds on my car.
And I did too. And a lot of times
our cars are next to each other.
I would go to the car wash
right.
on my way to work,
mm-hmm.
and I'm parking in an underground garage.
Covered.
And I come out to the car, and there'd be big like dinosaur poop on the car.
Incredible. I mean, you get it freshly washed, and then there'd be a berry tart on your windshield.
Right.
Amazing.
Okay, so that's the latest around here. There's always something going on around this place.
Man. This building. You know, not that old a building, you would think. You know, the things would work out.
Buzz, when the weather gets warmer, I believe both Mike and I will need one of your car cozies. one of those wrappers to put on our car.
Yeah, just to keep the bird turds.
I've already started knitting them.
All right, so let's take a couple of telephone calls and then on with the show. Here is Ben, trapped in an apartment. How can that be? Hello, Ben.
Hey, the idiots in my apartment complex have plowed all the snow directly behind my car. It is frozen. I can't shovel it. I'm stuck in my apartment. Can't go to work. I don't know what to do.
So, I mean, like, all the snow for the entire development was put in the pile, and the pile happened to be on top of your car?
Well, not exactly, but pretty close. I took everything from the street and put it behind my car.
Well, can't you dig yourself out?
I tried, but it's all frozen because the sun hit it, and it all froze over, and I can't pierce it with my shovel.
You know, I believe that could happen because I had my driveway plowed today, and, from the moment the sun hits, if the sun's on, it's fine. As soon as that sun moves and the area is wet, it freezes solid,
right?
You know, Frida reminded me of a time a long time ago. We lived in Chicago when we had a blizzard there. There was like 25 inches of snow, and we didn't know where our car was. We really didn't, because all the cars were so covered with snow, and what this guy was talking about, that the plows had come by.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than dig, because I am not a bright man, I went out with a shovel and just started putting the shovel in these big piles of snow, and it wasn't until I finally...
Clank.
I heard something. I said to her, hey.
You hit automobile.
I found the car. And then we dug it out, and we found out that I put this giant gash right in the hood of the car. Right to take it to the body shop.
You know, I prefer this on the East Coast, though, in wintertime. I do. I like the weather. I like it to be like, I'd rather have this than that 40-degree gray crap all winter. It's fun to have a little weather once in a while.
Yeah, well, Ben, why did you call?
Oh, I'm stuck here. I've looked at all the pornography on the internet, and I don't have anything left to do.
You have not looked at all all the pornography on the internet.
There's no way. You could spend months doing that.
Not enough time.
Have you even tried to pick up some girls on chat rooms? But
no, don't do that because they're always guys.
Those aren't girls.
Always guys pretending to be girls.
Do you guys have any suggestions on what I should do?
Well, J.O.
J.O. as much as you can.
I already have.
Really? There's no, you know, J.O. is like Jell-O. You know, there's always room for Jell-O. There's always room for J.O.
Do you have delivery services that come to your apartment?
Food's not a problem. It's just I'm like a little cabin stir crazy. Got cabin fever.
Well, God gave you feet.
Yeah, walk. Take a walk. Are you close to anything?
No.
Do you have any booze?
I got a half a bottle of vodka here, so I drink it and call you back at the end of the show.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Between the booze and the food and the porno on the internet and the J.O., you're fine. Are you kidding? Send me to that jail anytime.
Absolutely.
A jail where you can't leave your house, you got tons of booze, you can J.O., and you can watch television.
You'd like the life sentence in that jail.
Yes. Absolutely. All right, goodbye, Ben.
Thanks for your help.
Leave these lines open for people with real problems today. Wait, you just won the lottery, Ben. Hello, Andre.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi, Andre.
How's it going, Radio Gods?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, yesterday I was watching the Jenny Jones Show.
Yeah?
And they aired the America's Favorite DJ contest, and some retards from Pittsburgh station decided to put together a little vignette and advertise for themselves. Complete morons, and they came out and gave away T-shirts and stuff. And
I remember I told you that, I don't know how long ago this was, maybe 2 months ago, a producer from the Jenny Jones Show called us in the office and said, hey, we're doing a web poll to find out who America's favorite DJs are, and you guys, Don and Mike Show, you're in the top three. Congratulations on that. And we asked some of the information, and they said, well, if you're judged one of the 10 wackiest DJ teams in America, you get to come be on the Jenny Jones Show. And I told this producer, I don't care if we're rated number one. We're not coming.
Right.
And we urged people not to go on this website and not to vote for us because we thought it would just end up being just a retard roundup.
Absolutely.
And was it? Was it embarrassing?
Absolutely. A team from Vegas came out and threw out 50-cent chips. And the funniest thing was that it was in the last half hour of the show. The first half hour was celebrity lookalikes.
Oh, imagine that.
Welcome to the carnival.
They just crammed the disc jockeys in the last half hour. How many disc jockeys total do they have on stage at once?
They did, actually, it was just like you said. It was three morning teams that were just shouting over each other for airtime.
Yeah, that's it.
That's embarrassing to be
horrible. And that's the way these talk shows choose to, to put disc jockeys on the air. They want all of them out there on stools.
Yelling at each other.
Just screaming. It's
everybody trying to be the most outrageous. You know, hey, penis!
Right.
We say penis. Intercourse, excrement. Here, have a 50-cent tip. We're from Vegas. No, wait a minute. We're from B98. Here's a B98 T-shirt. And the whole time, Jenny Jones out in the audience put their hands up in the air, like, how am I going to control these crazy DJs?
Such a total suck fest.
Good job. So, John, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Don and Mike.
Thank you, Andre.
Bye-bye.
All right, goodbye.
Oh, I'm so glad we weren't involved for that.
There was a day. You know, we should say there was a day where we would have been young and foolish enough to do that.
Oh, we would have put on our satin jackets.
Absolutely.
And, we would have been right there with all of them.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike. Shane.
Hey, how are you doing, Don and Mike?
We're doing great, thank you, Shane.
I wanted to first thank you guys for putting on such a great radio show. You entertain me many hours, and my wife, too, when I can convince her to not change the station because she's kind of a prude.
Right, okay.
I'm calling from Portland, Maine, and
I need so much bio. What can we do for you, Shane?
Okay, well, today is St. Timothy's Day, and St. Timothy is considered the patron saint of those with intestinal difficulties.
Hey, really?
Yes, he was a Paul was his mentor, so
really?
I have a little calendar, and it talks all about that.
St. Timothy, the patron saint.
I never heard of him.
Intestinal difficulties.
I never heard of him.
Yeah, Buzz, we ought to drop by the church today.
I know Buzz can always use a patron.
Well, and Mike, I think.
So can Mike. Mike's having his colon problems again, too.
Yeah, big time.
Sorry.
And
Although,
I'm going in for the procedure next, as a matter of fact, the day of the Las Vegas style show, that morning.
Next Wednesday.
I'll be having my oscopy.
Although I do want to point out that Mike has indeed contributed to the collection of farts for the year 2000.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm not super proud of this, but, under the circumstances, it was the best I could do.
Sure.
I hope they give you some medication.
Hold on, that was like one channel. Let me zero that out. That's it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's got a personality.
No, it's unique. It's unique. But
I just thank God. I just thank God that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was working with Rockhead on that.
So that was Mike. And here's me. And, well, thus far the winner is Buzz. And then here is Robbie. And here is Rockhead. And as soon as Broyhill farts, we'll have enough to play an exciting round of Who Farted.
Broyhill, I'm surprised. Broyhill, I still think is the number one methane producer on the show.
He is, but he just can't work it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to thank you for the info, Shane.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Rodney.
Hey, what's up, Don, Mike?
Rodney, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I got a celebrity sighting for y'all.
Hey, what?
Fred Savage, believe it or not.
Listen, we only like celebrity sightings if you actually mention us in the Savage.
I did. I saw him right outside of the downtown in Manhattan, actually. I went up to him and asked if he ever heard of you guys.
You talked to the Savage man.
I just said, you know, Fred, you ever heard of Don and Mike? And he said, what? And I said, Don and Mike. And he's like, no, I don't believe I have. No.
Okay, great. Okay, right. Bye-bye, boys.
Bye-bye, boys.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Charlie.
Hey,
Don
and Mike.
Hi, buddy.
I wonder if you guys caught that fuster clock from the National Weather Service that they covered in the Post about these the new supercomputers they put out for all the weather they predicted. You guys have always gone off on that, and I think the prediction they had as of 8 o'clock for this area was a chance of light snow was what
yes.
they predicted.
I was on the front page of the Washington Post today that, you know, we ended up getting in some areas 2 feet of snow.
Right.
Generally, people got between 12 and 14 inches, but mm-hmm. the new supercomputer.
Supercomputer!
Predicted flurries to possibly an inch of accumulation
right.
for this,
yeah.
this blizzard that happened yesterday.
Well, I just thought you guys had to cover that because they were absolutely wrong about it.
And there was also an article in the Post today, although not nearly as mean-spirited as I would have written if I was your editor. There was an article today, did you see about the coverage of the weather guys on TV?
Didn't get my post
yeah,
today.
Yeah, here it is right here.
Didn't get my post.
Blanketing the D.C. area with snow coverage.
If I got a post, it was covered up by the snow plows.
Yeah, and they kind of allude to the stuff that we allude to on
right.
the show. But they do it too nice,
uh-huh.
you know. They don't, and they don't ever come out and slam any of these guys for not getting the forecast right.
Right. No, it's never done.
They just don't. But they talked about all the stuff that we talked about, how they have the reporters out
sure.
covering people, and how really TV kind of hypes it up to a level that that's almost unbelievable.
It's like when they show the reporter out there picking up the snow and saying, this isn't really good snowball snow.
And when they have people out at the grocery store, that kind of gets people mm-hmm. in the mood to go to the grocery store to
right.
stock up on supplies.
Of course.
And all that.
You know, it's funny.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, that's what it's all about.
When I got home, or right before I went home, I went to the grocery store before I got home last night, and I think maybe there were two other people in the grocery store at that hour. It was about 8:45, and I was walking around the grocery store, and for whatever reason, because of the circumstances, I mean, the parking lot had been plowed, everything was fine, I wasn't having any trouble getting out, but I got in there, and I had my cart, and I had this, I think I was hyped to death, because I had this feeling of urgency. There were two other people. I saw this one lady walking over towards the dairy section, this massive wall of milk, 2% low-fat milk, and this lady was coming up at me, and I go, she's going to take one, too. You know, there are only 400 there, but I'm like, oh, she's going to take one, too. Okay, there she goes. Oh, bitch. Man, oh, man. It's weird. There was no reason for me to feel that kind of urgency, but at one point, I had the cart, and I was walking along the back row where the meats are, and I'm walking back and forth, and I did two 180 turns, just like totally confused, like, what do I need now? And it was ridiculous.
I also have something to tell you about the weather, and
yes.
it's a turnaround for my wife. You know, the last 2 days,
right.
all Frida has said to me is, don't drive, it's not safe to drive, don't go to work. Then when I got to work, she said, stay in a hotel, whatever you do, don't drive, it's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this morning, at 8 o'clock, I roll out of bed. We slept in because Bart's school was canceled.
Right.
Found out. Phone tree last night. They called last night. I woke up late today, like 7:45. I get up and she's already showered and she's all cleaned up. I said, what are you doing? She says, I'm going out. I said, wait a minute. Hold on. You tell me for the last 2 days, I can't go anywhere like you're my mommy. I said, the weather's the same right now as it was last night when you were so concerned with me driving home. I said, what is so important that you're going to go out for it? She says, I have a hair appointment.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I have to get my hair colored.
Rain, sleet, snow, hail, the whole thing.
There's too much gray in my hair.
Oh.
And she was actually en route when the people from the beauty parlor called up and said, is Frida there? I said, no, she's on her way to get her hair done. Well, I don't know why she's coming in, because we're not open.
Right. Oh, but she wasn't happy about that.
Yeah, so I got the call and break that great news. But it was just interesting that the perspective changes. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's something really important, certainly not going to work or not going to the store to get supplies, but when it's something really important, like getting your hair colored, well, then it's okay to brave the elements and to go out.
Well, she probably had a little cabin fever, too.
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, when speaking about the weather people locally, did you see on Channel 5, Sue Palka tried to claim credit for breaking the story first?
Well, technically, I think she did, because...
I think she might deserve her props for that.
Because they're on at 10 o'clock, right?
They're on an hour before the other newscast.
Right.
So technically, yeah, she did break the story, even though she didn't predict it like everybody else. She was the first to tell us that we were going to get a blizzard.
She's first one that said it's a Scott Beckett weather bomb.
It's a bomb.
It's Scott Beckett bomb.
Scott Beckett bomb. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
The Radio God.
Hi there.
Hey, I've talked to you before when I used to live down near Ocean City. I'm the guy who used to work at a hospital where your mother-in-law volunteered.
Oh, okay.
Hey, been a long time.
Yeah, well, I just moved to back to the Washington area, and glad to be able to hear you guys.
Was that a voluntary move, or were you transferred?
Both.
By, like, federal marshals.
No, I'm not.
I'm sure my mother-in-law would be glad to know you've moved out of the Ocean City area.
Hey, I just want to know, can I come and record some parts with you guys?
No.
No,
of course not.
Hey, can I do something I haven't done in a long time?
What?
Both sperm bank.
All right, goodbye.
Later, man.
All right, goodbye. He starts every sentence with, hey. Hey, can I come and do that? Hey, can I do one more thing?
And about my mother-in-law?
Yes.
Old people and weather, they're out of their minds.
Right.
They got worse weather at the beach at Ocean City than we got
here.
Yes,
they do.
And my mother-in-law called, I don't know, maybe 15 times in the last 24 hours.
Right.
Every time to tell us the latest end-of-the-earth development in what was happening in the weather in Ocean City. It finally got to the point where the phone would ring, I would pick it up, she would say hello, and she would not even wait for a response. She would immediately just kick in with, now it's sleeting. Mm-hmm. Now we have 14 inches of snow, and it's sleeting. It's awful outside.
Panic.
Judy couldn't go to work. I finally just said, hold, please. Hold. Just put her on hold. Senior citizens, there's two things that they love.
Mm-hmm.
Bad weather and the Olive Garden.
You know, my mom, though, is soon to be 80 years old, totally unfazed by the weather. You know, she's on a fixed income now, and she's always looking for a
home. You could help that situation,
well,
you know.
I could, but, yeah. You know, let's not go crazy. So I tell her, you know, why don't you do something like, and I gave her a suggestion. She's shoveling all the neighbors' driveways now to make a few extra pennies, and I think that's pretty decent of her, you know. And I did buy her at Marshall's a pair of boots that have real gripper soles. And
oh, good.
She won't fall and break a hip. Yeah, but she had to get her own shovel. You know, the thing is, they only even way up there in New England, they don't get all that much snow because she's closer to the coast, and she wanted a snowblower. I'm like, please.
Yeah.
You know, what can a snowblower do, really?
So you just bought yourself a tanning bed?
Yeah, I did.
It's something called priority.
Of course, priorities. In the world.
I can't afford to buy you a snowblower. I just bought myself a tanning bed.
And chill out. You know, she wants a snow, like a little snowblower. And I said, the lease is up. I said, the lease is up on my car this year. Fend for yourself. Please. God.
Is your mother, seriously, I'll goof it aside.
Yes.
Is your mother like the Olive Garden?
No.
Then she's in the minority, because most old people I know love the Olive Garden.
I've been to the Olive Garden.
I can't stand the Olive Garden.
And we walked out a little early. Basically.
I don't know if they're a sponsor of ours.
We didn't feel like family.
I certainly hope they're not here, but I think the Olive Garden sucks, but I swear to God, every person over the age of 60 that I know loves the Olive Garden.
If the Red Lobster is booked.
Right. I think Red Lobster is better than Olive Garden.
Red Lobster is, I ate at a Red Lobster. You know, you might be surprised. I am telling the truth. Probably within the past 2 weeks, I ate at a Red Lobster.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I believe that.
There were some old people in there.
Hello.
All this snow makes my nipples so hard.
All right, goodbye. Nipple. Oh, nipple boy.
Hey,
goodbye.
Guess who's back on the phone.
Goodbye. All right, now I'm sure this is a scam.
Yes.
Okay. The Rockhead has put on the screen. He thinks it's Topper Shut from Channel 9.
That would be interesting.
Hello.
Hello.
Topper.
Mike.
Is this really Topper?
Yeah, it's really me.
I think it is.
That
it
is. Sounds like
it.
Sounds
it
exactly
is.
Like him. How's your big fedora doing?
Okay. Okay.
How's that big broom of yours?
Actually, I broke off one of the brooms in a snowdrift, to be honest with you.
Topper Shutt is a weatherman from Channel 9, one of the guys that we were goofing on yesterday.
I wish we could have, like, a few questions to verify the reality of this being Topper Shutt, meteorologist for Channel 9.
Well, there's one easy way. Without giving the name of the school, can you tell me the nickname of the teams? Because he went to the same school.
Bears.
Bears, yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Okay. He went to the same school as my son goes to.
I told you, I'm playing that charity basketball game with him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Topper, when we were bashing you and every other weatherman in the city, we were hoping that we'd get one of your calls. You usually like to, you know, call and...
So how do you defend yourself on this one, Topper?
You know, to be honest with you, I have no defense. This is actually your chance to really rag on me.
Wow.
The only thing I will defend is, while Sue was the first one to come on the air and say something, to Tuck Hill's credit, we had a crawl on the air about 9:15 or 9 o'clock. That's all I thought.
So technically you're saying Channel 9 had it first.
I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just telling you the timetable. I don't know what other ones were doing.
Oh, there you go.
But I like Sue, so don't rag on Sue too much. Okay?
Did you have the crawl with the beep, 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 beep?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, and of course the next morning, you know, Peggy and Gerald, you know, did some ribbing on me, and they said, you know, surprise those stories. Yeah, absolutely. I said, you went to bed before 9 o'clock, this definitely would have been a surprise.
And, you know, Topper, this is just a piece of advice. I really think that, you know, you are on TV, you are a meteorologist, you ought to get somebody else to, you know, sweep off the weather deck.
Hey, it's part of my job description, man.
I told you, isn't it the funniest thing is they go to Topper Shutt, and I don't know if you didn't know that the microphone was on, the camera was on. He's out there with his big old Fred Sanford and son broom, just broom off, and he turns around and he's like, oh, hello there.
No, I know, it's huffing and puffing, man.
So, around the TV station, around Nitwitness News, did everybody give you a hard time about the fact that we got a foot of snow and you didn't predict it?
Well, we get a hard time every day of our lives, really. I mean, it doesn't matter what we say. But we got a fair amount of grief, shall we say.
Good.
But again, it was we felt a little better because we righted the ship before it really hit the fan.
And now I hear, and this, I don't want to get everybody in panic mode, but since we have a real meteorologist on the line here, what's this I hear about maybe Sunday we're supposed to be getting another one?
Well, Sunday is a possibility.
A possibility. Would you like to maybe go on the line and really predict?
How about it, Topper? How much snow are we going to get Sunday?
Oh, come on. You remember last Sunday? Well, here's last Friday. This is why Doug and I did not talk about accumulations over the weekend. And, of course, that storm fizzled out and went to our south. So all I'll tell you is it's a possibility. It's, of course, we're going to be a weaker storm. And there's not as much cold air available, so it might be one of those, oh, boy, we've got a rain snow line here.
All right, see, this is generally the problem with the weatherman. Why can't it just be like you're picking a football game? If I was going to say to you who's going to win the Super Bowl, you'll say either St. Louis or Tennessee.
Sure.
So I'm asking you, is it going to snow, yes or no, on Sunday?
I can't say that because, you know what? Here's the deal. We know Tennessee are going to show up and play the game against the Rams.
Well, how about Topper? Just let it hang out.
What I'll do for you, we'll have a fantastic handle on it Monday morning.
Monday morning, the day after.
That's the first thing he said. There you go.
All right, Topper. And listen, last question.
Yeah.
You ever see J.C. Hayward without a wig on?
Come on now. That's
all right.
That's not nice.
All right, I know, but I'm not a nice man. Topper, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. It's Topper Shutt.
Channel 9.
Good guy. Calls us at...
Leprechaun weatherman.
You know, lots of times he'll call to do the little sparring, but he was a little more conciliatory this time.
Well, he was humble. He's probably been taking it the last 2 days from everybody in town.
Buzz, is your microphone off?
It's inadvertently got switched off again.
There it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, don't forget, what's
right.
The signal?
You didn't,
wave.
Buzz, you didn't do it. You were looking at me. You know what the move was? You didn't see the move. I will show you what the move was.
It was one of these.
No, it was not, Buzz. Okay. Now, you know what the move was. The move was like this.
What did you just raise his hand and put one finger in the air?
That's what it was for me.
No, it was bigger than that.
The move is,
yes.
You got to wave your hands on the top of your head.
But see, I feel ridiculous when I
but
do
why?
That.
But why? You're not, otherwise, when we have someone on the phone, or
right.
We're just doing the show, normally, no offense, you're to my left.
Right.
I'm looking at Mike.
Exactly.
I'm making eye contact with Mike.
Right.
So what you got to do is do something to really get my attention.
I swear to God, the first time you did that, I thought you were giving like a little salute to Topper, making fun of him.
I
really do. That's what I thought. That was, and then it went like this. The finger came up, and it was a half-hearted finger, and
right.
Then it was this, like I'm trapped, almost like a mime move.
Well,
and then finally Don turned, I hit to Don to it, and you turned around, and you gave a little of this, but
right.
You really
frantic, Buzz.
Yes,
okay.
Frantic.
All right.
Can you practice it?
Sure.
Now, look.
They've just turned his microphone off.
He's still not doing it.
He still
doesn't get it.
No, now we can't hear him.
He doesn't get it.
Okay,
he hates
no.
it.
No, but see, you have to look straight at Mike. That didn't work because you...
All right, I'm looking straight at Mike.
Hey, Buzz's mic's off.
Okay, see?
Did you see that?
No, but when you put your arms like that,
right.
then that alerts Mike to the fact that you're not just scratching your nose
right.
or giving someone a sign.
Okay.
Your microphone is off, and then Mike can alert me to
see,
that.
See, that's why... I...
So anyway, Buzz's microphone is off.
Oh, man. Marcel Marceau's in town. Maybe I'll learn from him.
All right, well, let me know. Did you have something you wanted to ask Topper?
No, if it was, I don't remember what it was now.
Okay. All right.
Did you want to give him a car cozy?
Yeah, I could, if he'll sweep my driveway. I'll give him credit for calling and giving this... giving the show a call, get his balls busted a little bit. Way to go, Topper.
That was very nice of you, Topper. We appreciate it.
Good man. Hello, Montag.
Yeah, hey. I used to I used to live in Knoxville when Topper was a Weber guy down there.
Yeah?
And he was just as messed up down there as he is up here.
Oh, now, come on.
Now, let's not slam
it's
Topper.
It's worse down there.
Yeah, you know, let's slam the guys that don't call this show.
All right, come on. Don't jump on Topper now because he's listening right now, for goodness sake.
Absolutely.
Well, Wait until another time. We can all talk about Topper.
We'll talk about J.C. Hayward's wigs.
Hello, Dan.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I'm calling today to tell you about my little Olive Garden story.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Well,
hey, Robbie, we don't have an Olive Garden commercial coming up, do we?
I don't think so.
Don't think so. I think we're safe.
Okay, when you're here, you're family.
Well, I'm a big guy. I run about 300 plus. Exactly.
That's a lot of garlic bread.
I think you don't have much space for that. The endless salad, right?
That's right. Well,
and Italian soup.
Well, this smart-ass guy, he's one of the waiters, and he just decided that he needed to make a comment or two about my weight and the fact that I couldn't sit in the chairs.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear. So, I mean, that's really not what a waiter should do.
Well, so he turns around to his girlfriend or whatever she was there that was serving somebody else and starts making comments. This is, look at this guy. I think we should take off the all-you-can-eat rule and whatnot.
Is he doing this really? He's doing this loud enough for you to hear it?
Yeah.
Like in front of you?
Just about.
What city do you live in?
I live in Ticonderoga, New York. But this Olive Garden, we're so small that we just got a Walmart not too long ago.
Oh, so you have to drive to the big city to go to the Olive Garden.
Exactly.
That's sad.
So what city do you listen to us on? Where, in Rochester?
No, Burlington, Vermont, actually.
Burlington, Vermont, okay.
We're so far up north, we're in the by the Canadian border there. It's the only thing we can pick up.
Well, sorry that you were ridiculed by the Olive Garden.
Well, you didn't hear the best of it yet.
Okay.
I turned around to this guy, and this is after he come up to me. Oh, here, sir, here's a larger chair that's more comfortable for you.
And made like a real big scene?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not family.
And I turned right around to him, and I just got up, and I was with my family. I turned around, I said, listen here, MF-er. I said, I just had it with him, and I told him, I said, do you think you're going to get an F and tip? And we just got up and walked out, and I haven't been in the Olive Garden since.
Bravo.
Story of triumph.
Bravo.
Thank you, my friend.
And tell you, I will boycott them till the day I die.
Good right. you, sir.
There you go.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
Yeah, pig.
Travis.
I got a great story for you.
What, Travis?
Playing in a golf tournament in Kansas City. It was a little benefit for muscular dystrophy.
Yep.
And playing with Joe Montana. Asked him if he had ever heard of you guys. The guy instantly starts laughing.
Joe Montana?
He loves you guys.
Really?
Yeah, there's a...
I've got that red flare again, but that always when it's a really good story, I try to temper my enthusiasm. Yeah.
Frankly, I've heard Joe Montana interview.
I mean, Joe Montana.
I've seen him on TV. He's not a real bright guy. Frankly, I don't think that this show is his cup of speed.
Just the fact
cup of tea.
First name is Joe is concerning me.
I don't know if he's up to speed with our show.
The guy is a little bit of a goofball, though.
Was he really?
There are actually a few people there that I mentioned it to. Joe Pesci and Joe Mama.
I knew that was coming.
Okay.
I called it.
Boom,
very sharp.
You did, Mike.
Yep, called
Boom.
It. Saw it coming.
Got it.
Take it easy, guys.
You're just not good enough anymore.
Goodbye. No, he's good enough to fool me. Fooled me. I'm here doing a big, whole long soliloquy about how dumb Joe Montana is. I'm sure he doesn't get this show.
That's a way to suck us in, though, right away. You know, I saw Joe Montana, and he started laughing. He loves you guys, and we're just immediately,
give you credit.
Well, last call, Marty.
Hey, Don Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How come you didn't make fun of Topper being short when you had him on the phone? I was hoping you were going to stick it to him.
Well, there are only so many things you can cover during one of those conversations, and we caught the hat, we caught the fact that he sweeps his own weather deck.
And the fact that he screwed up the forecast. I mean, come on, we don't want the guy to be a total punching bag. We're glad that he calls the
sure
show.
Sure he is, though.
But, you know, it really, when a guy calls, that's cool. We, you know, you got to give him a little slack when he's got, when he's got the cojones to call us.
Yeah.
He's the Stuart Little of Channel 9. How is that? Thank you. All right, thank you, Marty.
Bye.
All right, goodbye. Right now he's driving his clown car down the road.
It's a tiny little car with little bitty wheels.
He hates it when it snows.
Even a couple of inches.
Sure.
Because he gets stuck in the snowdrift.
Toe tapping touch toes right there. There they are. Let's try to give away up to $10,000.
Still renting that condo at the miniature golf range.
We have the secret celebrity laugh number 3. If you think you know who it is, now's your chance to win up to 10 grand. Good luck. Be the 100th caller. Call the Rockhead, who is soon to be punished.
Yes,
a public punishment is coming up for Rockhead. Our phone number, 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. Sports 11.
If you live in Fort Myers, Naples, Florida,
yeah,
local time, just after 4 o'clock, and in Fort Myers, Naples, Florida, our radio station is WINK. WINK.
Truly campy chat. Don and Mike.
Yo, yo, yo!
Yeah.
Yo, yo, yo! Yo, yo, yo!
I think he's about giving my son a heart attack today.
He came into the computer room,
right,
and I was listening to this CD.
Right.
He just stopped for a second with his jaw hanging on his voice. What are you doing? I said, what do you mean? I'm on the computer. He said, no, what are you listening to? I said, DMX. He just shook his head and walked away.
Yeah. Why did he shake his head?
What's wrong with my father?
Just confused to daddy's behavior.
Yeah.
Daddy's listening to the hip new music that all the kids dig.
Yo, yo, yo! I think DMX is actually on the way out.
Really?
That could be why he was shaking his head, that I like something that's already passe.
He's more cutting edge?
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
My son said, Dad, have you listened to the Insane Clown Posse?
That's a good name for a band.
Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I've not heard of them.
I think they were having a sales meeting the other day when the snowstorm happened.
And he said, I've got one of their CDs. And I said, all right, throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
So we took out my DMX, and he put in this Insane Clown Posse, and it was like, hey, mother effers, I want to F you sideways. F, mother effers, F, mother effers, F, F, F. And I just said, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Took that right away from him. He said,
so long,
you.
Dick Clark, so long.
There's your big mistake by letting me know you even had that CD.
That's on a Disney label, by the way.
I said, I don't mind if you buy the CDs. Like, even my DMX CD had the thing that says, you know, parental guidance suggested, because, you know, there's every once in a while he drops the F-bomb.
Adult lyric.
But, like, this first song that he put in, the name of the song might as well have been Mother Effer. That's the very first thing the guy says.
Right.
Mother Effer.
And it's selling like hotcakes.
Oh. The kids dig their style. Another certain thing, I just felt real old.
Have you noticed, though, I was, you know, society, radio starts it, and then I have noticed that everything is changing. I mean, commercials especially, you know, for the dot-coms are just, all the commercials now are starting to get a much more blue.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Caller 100?
Yes, you sure are. What is your name, please?
Brian Coke.
Hi, Brian. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Wichita, Kansas.
Brian, you are the 100th caller. Thank you for listening to the show on KFH Talk Radio. You have won a complete tax preparation from Jennifer Love's dad, Jason Hewitt.
Oh, excellent.
Call Jackson Hewitt. Excuse me, not Jason, it's Jackson.
You've got Jason on the brain.
Call Jackson Hewitt Tax Service for the location near you at 1-800-234-1040. All right, free tax service for you. Now, give you a chance to win some taxable income. Have you heard the secret celebrity number 3?
Yes, I have.
Do you have a clue? Do you have any idea who you think it might be?
I think so.
You think so?
How about we go now let's go $3,000.
Oh!
That's a nice big jackpot.
Come on, big bucks.
Oh, yeah. You want to play for $3,000?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, that's what we'll do this time.
Excellent.
You'll play for $3,000. If you get it right, we'll pay $3,000. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Sammy.
Like Sammy.
Ah.
We wish you...
Like speed.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
That laugh belongs to a nationally recognized celebrity. If you can identify that celebrity's identity, you will win $3,000.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
$3,000 on the line. Who is that?
Is it Leslie Visser?
Would you please repeat that?
Leslie Visser.
No.
No.
We're sorry.
Nope. Thank you, though.
Fine effort, though.
Thank you.
Thanks.
She will be on our show tomorrow night, the show that we're taping down in Atlanta, and she will be at Rudy's party. Sans Dick.
Yes.
Woo! Her husband, Dick. What's his last name?
Stockton.
Dick Stockton will not...
Dick Stockton!
He will not be attending the party with her tomorrow night. Okay, we are ready for some old-fashioned punishment.
All right.
Charles, if you would please take the accused to the assigned position.
Hope he dressed warmly.
I think that we have a tree outside ready, and we're going to... strap Rockhead to a tree.
Very good.
And I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do once we get him strapped to the tree.
Just being outside today, strapped to a tree, is good punishment.
The only thing that I had to promise him was that we would not, and we would definitely not allow our listeners to come down and pelt him with snowballs.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. There would be no physical harm. This is all psychological torture.
That's correct.
That we're going to inflict on Mike Rockhead, who is, incidentally, not just maybe, but... he has won the title the worst phone screener ever.
So he will be taken outside and taped to a tree.
Right. Where is he? Let's get the show on the road.
Moving slow.
I'm ready to start. The guy didn't... and the reason for this is that he didn't show up to work yesterday.
Dead man walking.
Right. Everybody else made it in yesterday, except Mike Rockhead.
Right.
Who drives a Toyota. And Toyotas are great in the snow.
Sure. There he goes.
There he goes. There goes the accused man, not even wearing a jacket.
Wendell, the prison guard, is... he better wear a jacket.
Yeah, I think he should. It's his choice.
He's so slow.
I don't need one.
So what we're going to do is take him outside and tape him to a tree.
It was warm when I came in.
We're just going to duct tape him to a tree.
Good.
And make him say I'm sorry a bunch of times.
I like this music. I don't know why I like this music, but I do.
It's the Rockhead theme.
Music for the condemned man. This is music that plays in Rockhead's head all the time.
Now they're going to the main tree, right outside our picture window, our window on the world. And he's actually facing us. And now we should have some type of wireless microphone so that we can actually communicate with the boy. Hi, Charlie.
How are you?
Oh, there you go. It's Charlie Broyhill. Hi, can you... oh, so obviously, what do you have, a headpiece in or something? An earpiece?
No, there's a... Wendell set up a monitor out here, and I can hear.
Ask Rocket, what's he doing without a coat on?
I don't know. I didn't grab one.
Okay.
He's from...
your butt.
And now, Charlie, let me turn the music off so we can actually hear you duct taping Rockhead to the tree.
He's getting up to his arms now.
Yeah, that's one good thing about Charlie Broyhill.
Right.
He doesn't do it half-assed.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he's really, like, in a hostage situation, taping him to the tree.
That's marvelous. We'll be able to just keep looking at him out there. Hi, Rockhead. How you doing?
I'm fine, Mike. Thanks.
I'm so sad you're going to be leaving us. Oh, I'm going to miss you so much.
There he goes. Nice and tight.
There he is. I think that's plenty
that's
good.
That's fine, Charlie.
I haven't got his legs yet.
Yeah, do his legs.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Ankles.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, his ankles. That's all you need to do is really do it well around his ankles.
If you must. Now, we're going to have Charlie out there and Wendell out there also to make sure that no harm comes to Mike Rockhead.
Yes, they'll be guarding him.
We really don't want anybody to come down and do anything to him. However... What?
No, I was just saying, no, we don't want anybody to do anything to him.
But
who are those passersby?
Yeah, there are already people coming by just to take a look at him.
Tourists are already checking you out there, Rockhead.
How's it feel, Rockhead?
I feel fine, thank you. Lovely.
And I hear horns honking as people drive by. As people drive by the Don and Mike World Broadcast headquarters,
ain't that a kick in the head?
These are all the people who hate you, Rockhead. All these people. Everybody should drive by the station with Rockhead taped to a tree. If you hate him, honk your horns. Let us hear you.
And Charlie, have you conveniently taped a microphone to his chest?
I'm getting ready to.
That is pretty funny. Really? I like that. They are taping a microphone to Rockhead's chest.
There you go, and. God. There's Tammy out there. Tammy's out there with a big WJFK sign.
Of course.
To make sure that anybody who drives by makes sure that they know it's us.
This is
the side of a tree.
This is much like the phone screeners are punished in China.
We'd whack him with a stick if we could.
Sure.
Right. There goes Tom, the owner of the building, with a shovel. That's not right. Get someone to do that, Tom.
No, no, don't do that, Tom. He was ready to get a big shovel full of snow and put it on Rockhead's head.
Now, what's that, a WJFK jacket?
Yeah.
It's just a jacket in case he got cold.
Oh, you're such a nice warden.
I love when Charlie has to talk to me and come close to me like that.
So let me explain what's going on now. As we are speaking, Mike Rockhead has been duct taped to a tree. His hands, his legs, his shoulders. Could you move? Could you try to break out of that? Do you think you could break out? Don't touch your nuts.
This is the punishment for failing to come into work when everyone else did yesterday.
Hey, Charlie, why don't you strap down his hands so that he can't scratch his nuts? He was just doing that a moment ago as if to show us that he had some rights,
yes.
Some freedom left.
Some incredible package, too. It's not true.
There you go. So now he's actually taped, duct taped to a tree.
Hey, Rockhead, is the tape giving you any warmth?
This electrical duct tape, and there's a microphone that is taped directly under his chin. So that we can remain in constant contact with him, yet he does not have to hold the microphone.
I miss him, McWilliam.
So, Rocket, now you can lean your whole body weight forward and the tree and the tape is...
I'm not going to...
It's supporting
Charlie
you.
Is. Very thorough.
So, yesterday... Tell us what else you did yesterday besides J-O-ing and having... What did he have to eat yesterday?
Tortellini.
What did you do yesterday besides J-O and have tortellini?
I watched The General's Daughter. I had ran it Sunday, but did not watch it yet. I watched that and I played a little PlayStation.
PlayStation.
Madden 2000. Uh-huh. That was the... I probably took a BM, too.
And I'll tell you, Wendell, you're right out of Fargo. I'll tell you that right now. Wendell, that is a Fargo outfit.
Yeah.
Heck of a deal. Yes, sir.
Yeah, deal. Deal. All right, what are we doing now? They're retaping him now, it looks like.
He's taping my penis now for some reason.
that's on Broyhill. That's cruel and unusual punishment that will be on Commissioner Broyhill's account.
So, are you feeling hypothermic yet?
Yeah, I'm just feeling it in my hands right now.
Now, he hasn't been out there long enough yet, Mike.
For the real hypothermia to set in.
Yeah, we gotta wait.
Remember that one intern we had that died of exposure?
Sure do.
Yeah, that was a long day.
And now Charlie and Wendell are walking away.
Yes.
Leaving Rockhead by himself taped to a tree.
Hello, Rockhead.
Hello, boys.
This is the real highlight, right?
This is the life.
We have taken our phone screener and we have taped him to a tree and he is out there alone.
Happy holidays.
He's alone in 2 feet of snow. He chose not to wear a jacket.
Yes, he made that decision. It's the way he lives most of his life. He didn't think it through.
It's called living dangerously.
Is it cold? Is he getting cold?
Yeah, it's damn cold out here.
How come you didn't wear a jacket?
I don't know, Mike. I just did.
That's a good answer.
I don't know. You know what's funny? I see people almost getting in accidents because he's taped to the tree
right.
So that he's facing the studio. He's not facing the traffic out on Main Street. People are actually having to crane their necks.
You don't get a real good look at him.
When they drive by the CBS building to get a look at him.
But feel free to give a honk when you drive
by. Go back
by.
To shoveling, Jeff.
There you go. Let's just enjoy this for a moment. Now, what is this? Oh, we have a crown to put on his head. Okay.
That's his dunce crown.
Okay.
There he is. Oh, don't shake it off. Oh, he's so uncooperative. You're going to have to duct tape your head to the tree.
They went out and put a crown on his head, and he shook it off.
Well, we could tape it to his head.
Okay, now.
What are they doing?
Now,
Tom, you're really getting quite a thrill out of this.
Are you part of the show? That wasn't me.
Why was Tom sticking his stick in you?
I don't know. This guy Tom is the guy who owns the building.
Right.
He's the George Jefferson of this building. And for whatever reason, he just went out and took like this big branch that fell off a tree and shoved it in Rockhead's pocket. Why he did that, I don't know.
He likes the torture.
Yeah, wait. Charlie Broyhill is taking the crown off.
Oh, look at how nice he's being.
Oh, that's my hair.
What are you doing to him,
he's
Charlie?
He's helping you.
What's he doing? He's putting a hat on his head.
Pull my hair out.
Oh, he's putting like a stocking cap on him.
And gloves.
And gloves.
Well.
Since when do we afford all these luxuries?
Hey, you know, it's at Amnesty International when they called the show.
Yeah.
They wanted human. We were doing a few human rights fights.
Him anything if we give him gloves.
I would venture to say we could leave him out there naked, taped to a tree. He wouldn't learn nothing. Just the kind of guy he is.
Uh-huh.
Anything.
All right, now the crown is gone back on top of the skull cap.
you do look extra goofy dumb right now.
Yeah, he does. if it's possible for him to look any goofy dumbier than he already does.
Maybe we could get a picture so you can take a look at it later and see how handsome you are.
That'd make a nice screensaver, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That would make a nice mouse pad.
Just
know
this because I don't trust the people.
I know.
All right, here comes Big Gum Jim. Oh, it's another hat for you. It's a Santa Claus hat. You put it right on top of the crown.
This is where.
You're so uncooperative.
This is where the people.
That wasn't me.
Now, Jimmy, don't hit him.
Anymore.
Jim McClure just slapped him in the head. Because let me explain what happened. He has like this skull cap, like a knit cap on.
Right.
Then on top of that, he has a crown. On top of that, Jim McClure put a Santa Claus hat. And apparently, that's where Rocket decided he had had enough.
Right.
So he shook his head. All the caps fell on the ground. Jim McClure came over and slapped him in the side of the head.
There you go.
Up, and he just knocked all the hats off again. Oh. Charlie, you might have to tape his head.
That's because it's filled with meat.
You might just have to tape his forehead to the tree.
All three of the hats don't fit on his head.
Yeah, because it's too fat, filled with meat.
Too much brain.
Yeah.
Too much brain, my ass.
Too much brain. That's a lot of gristle.
Too much brain.
So do you feel like you've learned your lesson?
I've learned my lesson.
I don't think he has.
Next Monday, I will be here.
I don't think he's learned his lesson yet. I think he needs a little while more.
I do. I believe so.
Just a little while to think about things.
I have learned my lesson.
Good long while.
Is there remorse, regret? I don't hear it, Buzz.
Remorse, Buzz.
So,
regret.
Do you think he really...
I should have risked my life to be here yesterday.
Do you think he'd die if we left him overnight and came back the next day?
Be a great experiment.
Yeah, it really would.
I'd really love to try it. See, and Buzz... In answer to your question, no, I don't hear remorse.
No, I haven't heard it either.
I still hear more of that.
I hear it in there.
More of that sap tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he says, next time I will risk my life to come into work, that's his way of saying, F you.
And listen, genius, when you're talking about remorse, the sentence, I don't know what else to tell you, shouldn't be part of your vernacular, okay?
I apologize.
You should.
I'd like to hear, well, how long is my song here? 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear a 2.5 minute apology to myself, to Mike, to Buzz, to Charlie, to Rob,
and to our listening
audience. To all the people listening right now who you let down yesterday.
Go ahead. And maybe we'll consider freeing you if it's decent enough.
Mike, Don, Buzz, Charlie, Rob, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. I wish I could look you in the eye right now. I looked down at the microphone. I am sorry for not showing up yesterday. And the Big Gum Jim, thank you very much. You were wonderful yesterday. I could have taken a lesson.
All right, that's great. That's only about 20 seconds. Keep going. About 2 more minutes to fill.
Why are you sorry? Then go on that riff.
I apologize for not coming in yesterday.
Why?
I was in my car, and I should have just kept coming.
Yes.
And for that, I truly am sorry.
And now specifically speak to our listening audience.
My listeners, I know you missed me yesterday, and for that, I apologize.
Bill, you marvelous sportscaster. And now give me play-by-play on a home run hit by Mark McGuire.
Yeah, that's good. So you hit the home run.
You mean the big dickhead going deep?
What did he say?
What was that? What?
The big dickhead going deep.
The big dickhead going deep.
My hatred for Mark McGwire.
Oh, you don't like Mark McGwire. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a popular stance, moron. All right, let's do some of your play-by-play.
Because, you know, that's his goal someday.
Right, to be a play-by-play
this
baseball
announcer. This idiot phone screener we have, he wants to be like the next Vin Scully.
It's a little too windy out here to be
doing
that.
That's his pathetic pipe dream. All right, would you like
you
to give us...
apologize some more?
You know, then, yeah, keep going the apology and apologize to the listeners like you mean it.
They know I mean it. They know I love them very much. And I would never do anything to intentionally hurt them. And I have wronged.
You have wronged?
Yes.
Or you mean you have erred?
No, I have wronged.
You wrong somebody, you err.
But I have wronged them.
And you have erred. And as long as you're out there strapped to a tree, what else would you like to apologize for? How about your bad attitude at work? How about your lack of enthusiasm?
My enthusiasm is lacking the last couple of days, but... Rejuvenated.
The hypothermia is starting to set in now. And now, can you call
it? Chattering.
Call a game for us. Call a game for us, okay? Come on, give us a little play-by-play.
I can't do that right
Complete
now.
With the. that thing you do. Come on, that's funny.
I can't do it right now.
We'll free you if you do that.
I apologize.
Oh, Rob, roll tape. I'm going to fart.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
Stand by. Now, don't move the microphone around so much. Wait till it's steady.
Lysol, please.
You just keep giving.
I just felt it coming out.
Maybe it was his speech that brought it out.
I thought I could do better than I'd done before in our contact.
Your first one was better.
You think so?
I think just a little bit. But I'm nobody to talk because my effort was very weak.
Rockhead, anyway, excuse me.
I apologize for my weak fart, by the way.
Now, that's good. That's the first real remorse I've heard.
What would you like to say to the many people who have called this show and you have inadvertently hung up on or been rude to?
I apologize.
Is that cold?
I was very rude to you.
Is that cold? Is that cold getting to you?
Rockhead?
Oh, wait, the law is here. The law. Oh.
What is that? The law has nothing to do with this. There are two cops outside.
The law. You know what? This is it, Rockhead. They're taking you away. They're taking you away.
We're not breaking any law by taping this guy to a tree.
I don't think so. Well, we'll find out shortly.
Would you think the cops would have more important things to worry about today than coming by because we're taping a guy to a tree?
I'd like to say hi to the officers on our monitor outside.
Can you? Well, no, I would say this to their face. Hey, guys. We're on private property. All we're doing is taping this dude to a tree because he just won't listen.
Let's see if we can hear what the locals are saying.
Let's see, Charlie.
I would put the mic closer if I could.
What's going on, Rocket?
Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy, get on microphone. Can you tell me what the officers are saying?
Right, I guess it's going on right
Jimmy's
now.
Going to listen now.
We're worried about the traffic. There's an accident out here.
Oh, okay.
People
right.
Looking at Rockhead.
Oh, really? Well, we certainly didn't intend that.
It was my good looks.
You a-hole.
He is an a-hole.
You a-hole.
Oh, God.
Well, I think it's only right that you pay for any damages caused by any wrecks of people straining their necks to look at you.
Jimmy, could you ask the officers if there's an accident, will Rockhead be responsible?
Hold on, here comes Charlie Broyhill to the microphone.
We're being forced by the police to stop this at once.
Okay.
All right.
My saviors. No, there's a potential for an accident.
All right. Well, we got him. At least we punished him.
Okay.
At least we got some punishment.
Where he's being cut loose now.
That's right.
Police have done their job again.
Fantastic.
Huzzah!
Huzzah for the men in blue.
And there we go.
Oh, we just have to torture him inside, then, where we won't cause any kind of a...
thank you.
any kind of a traffic problem.
Next time we can put him down in the garage.
But it won't be a next time.
Yeah.
There won't be. He and I had a discussion today, and he has decided to explore other options in his career. But he's going to hang on until we get a replacement.
Oh, very good.
That's great. So it'll be an amiable parting that we have with Mike Rockhead.
Now you can hear the sound of the duct tape being removed from Mr. Rockhead.
They were dick.
Who said that?
I did, Charlie.
Well, who was dicks? The cops?
Yes.
Why, what did they say?
There's a potential.
Oh, so there wasn't a real accident?
No, there's a potential there could be one, and we would be sued if there was.
Well, shouldn't those guys be, like, looking for bank robbers and stuff instead of worrying about us?
There's a potential of an accident.
There are lots of guys like Rockhead running around the streets.
Well, they should be worried more about real crime and junk than worrying about us taping a goofy phone guy to a tree.
Well, you heard Rocket. It's his incredible good looks.
Whatever. All right. Well, punishment over. Thanks. Punishment over, courtesy of the Fairfax City Police.
All right. They're coming in. They're making their way back in. He will be now having the pleasure to answer your phones all day.
Yes, he will.
You can give him your personal response to his statement of remorse.
Here now is Chuck Broyhill.
I just want to say, we have bomb threats, and they laugh at us. We tie someone out to a tree, and they're by here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really laugh? Do they really laugh when we get the bomb threat?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie.
I agree.
I don't think we're doing anything wrong out there.
Frankly, I really don't.
Yeah.
They don't have more important stuff to do the day after a blizzard?
I don't know.
Whatever. Whatever. We comply.
You got to say that like the Simpsons guy.
Whatever. Whatever. Well, I hope he's learned his lesson. Hey, Rocket, come here. Have you learned your lesson?
Let's find out.
Yeah, good question.
In your limited time that you have left with this show, do you think now that you'll be a more remorseful employee? Michael Rocket, do you think you've learned your lesson?
Of course.
Do you think that this is a life lesson that you will take to your next job?
Yes.
That whatever your next job is, if it snows, if it rains, you'll come in.
I will be there in a flash.
Good.
Lesson learned?
Learned well.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Greet your public.
All right. Nothing but love on those phones today.
There you go.
Nothing but love. Remember, thick skin. Come on now. Gotta have it. Thick skin, baby.
There he goes.
There is the punishment of Michael Rocket. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Can you imagine winning $10,000 on the radio? Well, she did it, and you can too. Secret Celebrity Lab.
Oh my gosh, I'm shaking.
Only on the Don and Mike Show.
You know, they're quite willing to kill off nature, you know, for a cheap buck, and then, you know, and then just point the finger at somebody else for why the jobs disappeared.
Larry.
Hello?
Larry.
Yep.
No.
I'm sorry. Do I want to rephrase that?
Sleeping.
Like a daily 4-hour hot Carl. The Don and Mike Show.
One knows that Rocket has been answering all of these telephones, yet he's only screened one call to make it on the air.
I guess he's feeling the quan.
Someone who says he accepts Rocket's apology.
Okay.
I guess he didn't put through all the calls that people tell him to go scratch. Hello, Jeff.
He wanted to make sure this one would get through.
Right.
I do accept the apology of Michael. He did actually sound sincere. Although I wish we would have had the opportunity to throw snowballs or with him or whatever. But
okay. Well, there's a lot of hatred out there.
Absolutely.
Everybody listening should know that this is not a bit or a gag.
Mm-hmm.
I really had a meeting with Rockhead today, and we discussed his future. We mutually decided that he has no future on this show. So he is going to move on
right.
in his career, and we are going to replace him.
Oh, that's a shame.
But until such time as we find a replacement,
right.
he will still be slogging in answering the telephone calls.
And the Fairfax City Police blow. Believe me, at least to live there.
All right, well, thank you, my friend. I just think that they could have handled it nicer. They could have been a little less Nazi-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could come up and say, listen, guys, you have the chance that you could have a traffic problem. Why don't you please move
yeah,
it inside?
I agree.
Instead, they came by and, you know, tried to strong-arm Charlie and said,
right.
you know, move it inside. We just heard the whole thing
right.
from Broyhill about
yeah,
the stuff they were telling him.
It could have been done differently.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hello, Paisley.
Yes.
Paisley, what a neat name that is.
Oh, baby.
Hey, baby.
Oh, baby.
Man. Well, I just, you know, I'm all for cops. My uncle's one. But, you know, there were three cars on the road. What's up with that? There was no traffic.
Now, listen, let me tell you something, honey. It's been long-standing here since we started working at this station. Virtually every time we do anything outside,
mm-hmm.
the cops come by.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I don't know if it's people in the neighborhood that call
right.
and complain. I don't know if it's just that these guys are listening to the show with nothing better to do.
We're used to it.
You know,
I'm for that one.
They come by, but all you know, all we can do is say, okay, you know, we'll stop whatever we're doing.
That's what we did.
I know.
That's why Rockhead's
right.
That's why Rockhead's inside now, all warm and toasty, taking all his love calls.
All right, mm-hmm. thank you, Paisley.
Bye, honey.
All right, goodbye, bye, honey. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
How's it going, guys? Listen, Mike, I've never been a fan of Mike Rocket, but I do want to say that I think his apology sounded sincere to me. I think he sounded like he was truly sorry for not coming in.
You tape somebody to a tree, that'll get a little remorse out of them.
Yeah, I think doing something like that is bound to get them feeling sorry, at least for themselves and nothing else.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.
I bet he wallows in a great deal of self-pity.
Oh, absolutely. No, but you know, it's a balancing act.
Right.
Because he balances between self-pity...
And bravado.
And this amazing ego that he has.
Yes.
You know, I was looking at him today when I was having this meeting with him. I had a meeting with him before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, no ball busting, all the crap from the show aside,
right.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a nice guy. We like him, and that is the truth.
And you're a good worker. I said, but really... You don't bring a lot to the job. You don't seem to be real enthused about the job. And he explained to me a situation that he works another job.
Yeah, he's got another gig, right?
He works an overnight shift, and a lot of times he comes in here, he's sleep-deprived, and he's got kind of a thin skin for the stuff that goes on the show. And while he was giving me this lengthy diatribe, I was looking at him, and the only thing I could think is, you know, he really is not handsome.
But he thinks he is.
He thinks he has this... He alternates between being totally petrified,
right,
and this intense bravado,
right.
I mean, it's a fine line. I'm
strange
looking at
man.
I'm thinking, you know, on one hand, I look at him when I'm having the conversation today, and
right.
It looks like he's about to fall apart. But then 2 seconds later, I feel like he pops out his chest and he says, "You know what? You're right. I should move beyond this job."
Yeah, he said.
I should move on to something else.
See, I'd never met one like him. I'll be honest with you. I have to tell you that. There has not been a person that has done that job that I have ever met that is like Rocket. He is really weird.
He's not handsome. I want to say that for the record.
He tells you, I get the impression when he comes in here, he does speak his mind. He says what's on his mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's very little game playing with Mikey Rocket.
True. He thinks he's handsome.
He does.
He really does.
He's handsome.
Hello, Jim.
Yes.
Maybe his mom, he told him that or something.
And he believed it.
Ma Rockhead. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi. Turn down your radio, please, Jim.
Yes. When Mike Rockhead leaves, it's going to be a real pisser when he leaves.
Explain that, please.
Well, I mean, he brings something to the radio. I mean, he's always busting his chest about him being so handsome and everything.
Yes.
So you're saying it's going to be bad when he leaves.
Right.
Now, listen, you will soon forget about him, and we'll replace him with another person. And that's one position on the show that is in constant flux.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's be honest. It's kind of a dead-end job, and, you know, that's the bottom line.
Right. It's a job that pays no benefits.
Right.
There's no insurance at all. It pays a relatively small hourly wage,
mm-hmm.
and there's no overtime involved.
Right.
You can only work a certain amount of hours a week, so it is... a dead-end position.
Yeah. And it's a good job for somebody who wants to, like, get into a radio station, and somebody that actually maybe is doing something else and just wants to do that for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really, in all seriousness, that's what it's for.
In 3 years, you'll see him at 11 o'clock giving some play-by-play commentary from some low-lame front.
How much you want to bet on that?
Okay.
Thank you, my friend.
There you go. That's one of his fan members.
Hello, David.
I think he should stick around. I think he should reconsider.
Yeah, well, that's a decision that's really already been made.
Well,
unless what would Rockhead do? I mean, he'd have to come back out in hand.
Well, he does hang up on people, but I think it's only because he believes that's what you want.
No, listen. This is the problem. I don't want to get into a whole.
This is what happens when when you're nice enough to let the listeners in on everything that's going on. You got all the the Monday morning quarterbacks backseat drivers.
You guys really don't know what's going on. I don't want to get into it with you. But
okay, we'll leave even, the driving. I'll leave the driving to you.
Even though it is a relatively low paid position and it's a dead end position, it's a position that's very important to any radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike. Because he gets hung up on a lot, and because people call him names a lot,
right.
Sometimes is not able to focus on the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
He will sit back there, and he will fume, and rather than answer telephone calls and try to find calls of people who want to come on the show, he's more intent on finding some guy's phone number
right.
who called him up and called him a fag.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll spend all day just focusing on that one telephone call.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you know, you've been back there a lot of times. You see with he's got his head in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. But let's not kid ourselves. It's a little difficult to deal with that. I mean, you do need a thick skin, and many times he will have days where he's pretty possessed by some of these calls.
And he just can't focus on his job.
He just can't take it personal, that's all.
I tried to tell him that. I mean, I swear to God, That was the conversation I started to have with him today.
Mm-hmm.
Was the don't take it so personal speech, and it ended up being Rockhead telling me, well, he's got this other job, and he thinks maybe it's time we part company.
Right.
So I said, okay, say lovey. Goodbye. You're dead to me. Bring in the next body. Be prepared to be taped to the trees today.
Oh, man.
All right. Thank you, David.
But obviously, we are, you know, it is going to be an amicable parting because of the fact that he did allow himself to be taped to the tree today.
Right.
So, I mean, that's good. That's a good thing.
He's all right. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Chris.
Yeah. Isn't there, like, some place you can take him in time back up where the police won't bust on you?
Well, only inside the station.
He's been punished today.
Okay. Well, how long is it going to take to replace him? About 4 minutes?
One of his buddies calling right now.
All right. Hello. Hello, Dave in Idaho.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I was listening to your show when you talked about the fire marshal, you know?
The guy with the parking spots, yeah.
Yeah. What the hell's up with that? Was there like a fire drill in your building or what?
No, they're talking about the sprinkler system that needs to be brought up to specs. And so the fire marshal told everybody that was parked in the underground garage to amspray.
And he just takes your spot like he's king of the hill or something, huh?
Well, he was in this case, he was king of the hill.
He has that authority.
He came in with his fire guy coat and his fire guy car, and
there is a tremendous groundswell of question authority mentality today.
Yes, there
is indeed. There's some angry people out there.
Frankly, I wonder why so many public servants have decided to come down on this radio station today. You know,
I would think
the day after a blizzard,
yes,
that the fire marshal would have something else to do and that the police would have something else to do, but
that's
they
right.
don't. So let's deal with it. Let's move on.
Hey, what do you think about Idaho?
Pardon me?
You ever come out to Idaho before?
No. Hello, Riley or Mark.
You dicks.
Why? Why are we dicks?
I don't know. I just like it.
No, he's Riley.
Yeah, I want the job.
Oh, listen, Riley, everybody does.
Yeah, okay, but how much does he make?
You might not be qualified.
I'm very qualified.
No, I'm saying you might not be qualified.
Without even
talking to you, I'm thinking you might not be qualified.
You're board op in Burlington.
You're the board op?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still think you might not be qualified.
So what do I do not to be qualified? I mean, did I just come on, you know, too strong?
Nope.
Yeah, goodbye. I think basically the next time we fill this position, NPA. No penis allowed.
Exactly.
Okay.
Boys, excuse me. I mean, I'm talking to Buzz and Rob here. A little more enthusiastic round of applause for that.
Generally, our audience responds better to a hottie answering the telephones than they do some big, cheesy intern.
That's right.
Yes,
from Charles Broyhill.
Hello.
Hi,
Charlie.
I want you to know I will be hiring the most qualified applicant.
Right, Mr. EEO, I got you.
Very good, Charlie.
Okay, just as long as she has a vagina. That's all we care about, Charlie. You see that zit on the end of his nose? It's
gotten worse.
Gigantic.
Taking over his whole head.
Hello, not in my show.
Hey, is this Rockhead?
Here he comes again. No, this is not Rockhead.
Hold on a second. How would you like to try to pop that zit right now in the air?
I've tried popping it many times at home, and there's nothing to come out.
I believe I'm looking at what is called a blind pimple.
Okay.
So there's nothing to pop.
No, it's just been really, I mean, it feels a lot better today than it has in the past, but I couldn't rub it like I am.
That hurts me.
Try to squeeze it. Try to squeeze it.
Squeeze.
Will you just try? Please?
How's that sound?
Squeeze real hard.
I am.
Is there no pus coming out?
No pus. Just more oil comes out.
Take a razor blade?
Oh. I used a pin. I used a pin to try to, you know, to get some stuff out. But
that is really, I mean, it's huge. You might have to go to a dermatologist.
Oh, it'll go away.
You might have to have that lanced.
Lance that boil.
Lance that boil. You've got a boil on the end of your nose.
I do.
A blind boil.
It's a big boil. Hello, Joe. Joe, you're on the air. Joey.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Great, thank you.
I have a couple of questions I want to ask you. One, when Mike gets fired, do you think he'll rehire Lutard to be the screener?
No,
absolutely not.
No. And another thing, do you remember how you were talking about how your son was disappointed that you were listening to DMX?
Yes.
I think I know why. If he's anything like my son, he hates that white people listen to black people music. So it might be something like that because Insane Clown Posse is a bunch of white people singing black people music.
Right, okay. Great insight. Thank you, sir.
Brilliant.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Bill, hello, my friend.
Hey, man. You guys let the best screener you had, like, that she left.
we got to do whatever we got to do to get Christine Turner back.
Oh, that's true.
Now, wouldn't I love to, but listen, I seriously had discussions with Christine. Christine got a real job.
Yeah, she's in sales now.
Yes, I mean, she makes a real decent salary. We don't have the money to hire Christine. One night at the Las Vegas style show, I'd had a little too much to drink, and I actually told her, I said, listen,
come back!
Even if I have to pay myself, come back and work. And then she called the next day, and she said, were you serious about that? And I said, of course not. 100% not.
You're teased.
Yeah. No, I miss having her around. She was,
yeah, I mean,
she was
good. We can only hear what she sounds like on the radio, but we can just imagine what she actually looks like. You know, she's got to be
a
knockout hottie.
I think it's important to point out now that Charlie Broyhill will be hiring the best qualified candidate
with large breasts. Hello, Vanessa.
Hi.
Hi, we're great, thank you.
I just wanted to tell you that what you did to poor Mikey Rockhead was cruel, immature, and childish, but you know what?
Right.
I loved it.
Thank you.
Of course you did.
You guys are so bad.
Yeah.
Teach me.
Teach you how to be bad?
Teach me your evil ways.
I bet you're a very bad girl.
No.
I bet you are.
On that.
I bet you are.
May I?
Why don't you give yourself...
I don't use my evil powers anymore.
Why don't you give yourself a nipple twister right now? Give yourself a purple nurple right now.
Yours are bigger. I've seen you guys.
Cool.
See, I told you. You can be mean. See, we don't have a thick skin at all. You know, we tell other people to have thick skins, but that hurt.
Ouch. I didn't.
Ouch. Who's the...
I've seen you guys.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
I'm Latina, so
yes.
I look like,
yes?
I don't know, I look like, I look like, a little bit of Selma Hayek, a splash of, Lopez.
Lash of Jennifer Lopez.
Why, please.
And is there another splash?
Who's that doctor from Providence?
You mean the TV show Providence?
Yeah.
Like Katrina Gigetti's or something.
Oh, with the curly hair.
What is it? What is her name? Anna Maria Alberghetti? What's her name?
Yeah.
Oh, what, Robbie?
Mike Farrell.
Mike Farrell. All right, goodbye, Vanessa.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Robbie shouldn't talk either.
Goodbye, Connie.
Goodbye, Sammy.
Mean. There is love here today.
What was that? I called her Connie, but then she called me what?
Sammy.
That makes no sense.
I don't know. I don't understand. Why are they comparing me to the word cunning?
Hello, Derek. Derek, buddy.
All right, you have
Doug. Yeah,
Doug. Doug.
Hi, what do you want?
Hey, Radio God, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, is he going to leave the station or is he going to be there still?
You know, I got to tell you something. I'm sorry, and I don't want to slam anybody, but I got to. Yesterday when we had, and you brought this up on the show, we had Big Gum Jim on the phone. We had calls that we hadn't had calls like this, but we are right back into Rockhead style calls.
Right
now he sucks in the morons to this show.
He does.
He's crackhead, not Rockhead.
These are all the people that he should have hung up on. These are all screen calls I'm taking.
These
right
are his people.
Right. Oh, you should unload on him.
Yeah. Enough with this. There's just two people I want to talk to right now.
First, okay, very good.
Rob Grippy, there's no chance you can have this job. Don't bother calling.
Oh, please.
No.
I've been waiting for years for this chance.
Rob, never in a million years.
Oh,
go back and deliver pizzas.
You don't have the initiative.
Go back and deliver pizzas. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Dennis.
You want to have a good day, what?
Dennis, there's no chance we will give you this job.
Dennis, you make more money doing all the things you do surrounding the show.
I know, but, you know, I do have a skin. People call me mother asshole.
Dennis.
People call me your one-handed
girl. Dennis, you know how sick people would get of you if you were answering the phone?
Do you know how sick we would get of you if we had to see you every day?
How sick would you get, Don?
Dennis, don't you think that the way the relationship works right now with Dennis Murphy Enterprises, don't you think that it's better the way it is?
Okay.
You get to travel and do more exciting things.
You know, it's much better, like the way you called the show. You know how sometimes you don't call us for 3 or 4 weeks, then when you call, we're all excited to hear from you?
Well, but, Don, and got away you want it.
Right.
Luke.
Yeah.
Imagine what it would be if you were here every day.
Oh, Christ.
Hey, Don, like, I am very proficient on the phone.
I don't doubt your qualifications. I'm just telling you.
Great one-handed typer.
It would ruin our relationship.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Dennis, to be honest, you're a star.
A major effing star.
It's not a job for a major effing star.
Beneath you.
Well, thank you for calling me that. By the way, those shirts are still available.
Oh, the Dennis Murphy shirts. Right.
Yeah, that's good. You can blackmail us. That's fine.
Your Austin Power shirts, right?
Have you worn my shirts yet? My Austin Power?
I have not worn it. No, I have not.
Oh, I bet Freeba has.
I think the shirt is still unworn, Dennis.
Oh, my God. How would you like?
No.
Okay. Oh, man.
But I have your CD on my desk at home.
Well, but your wife took the cover out, right?
No, she just brought it out and said, can we get rid of this?
All right, see, Dennis.
I have a question.
Can you imagine every day coming into the office and going through this in real life? In real time. You know what I mean? Looking at this guy having that hot breath blow in your face and having these discussions. Having these discussions after every commercial set when we leave the studio.
You know what it would be also? This what? Pilot. Well, if you did that job, you'd have far less airtime than you do normally.
I know that because wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want me to
Sometimes you're just too tenacious. You know that?
No, I told you yesterday when you called about it. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You're the mascot of this show.
Thank you.
You got it?
Okay. Hey, guess what?
What?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania wants me to come up and do a couple of bar stops.
Fantastic.
That's right. We wouldn't let you do that if you were a phone screener.
We're all for that. Go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Make some personal appearances.
Also, can I say one other thing?
Yes.
I'll be a Saki Garb on Sunday at Ocean City.
Yes, but no, listen, you're so hot, Dennis. You're so in demand.
And I'll be on the radio, too, so your mother-in-law can hear me.
What time are they putting you on the radio?
He's a pastor today.
They're having a pre-Super Bowl party, and they want me to show up and have a couple of, have some input to the show.
Yeah, have a couple of cocktails.
Jesus Christ. Robbie, where's the train wreck sound effect?
Oh, my God.
That's a train wreck if I've ever heard of you. You're having a Super Bowl show and you invite Dennis Murphy down to give expert commentary while you're plying him with cocktails.
I do know a lot about football.
I don't doubt that, Dennis.
I know a lot about college basketball.
Would you like to give Dennis a football quiz?
Dennis, how many members of the Jacksonville, Tennessee defense can you tell me from last week's AFC Championship game? How many members of the Jacksonville Jaguars or Tennessee Titans defense can you name?
Kirksey from Tennessee.
Curse.
Kirksey.
No, the name is Curse.
Oh, okay.
Javon Curse. Just listen to that. First off, he only knows one guy.
And then he says
and then he drops the F-bomb.
Okay.
All right.
So I know five Jacksonville players are going to Pro Bowl.
That's pretty good.
Well, big deal.
Huh?
Big deal.
Okay. And I know Steve McNair is a quarterback. And I know Scott Brunell, who you love.
Mark Brunell.
Oh,
no. Yeah, I can't wait to hear your commentary at that Super Bowl show.
Thank you. Who wears number 27 for Tennessee?
Oh, Eddie George.
All right, you got one right. Who wears number 87 for Tennessee?
89 is Whitechuck.
Who wears 87?
87 is a wide receiver.
Duh.
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith?
No, my last name is Smith.
No, it's the anti-sig gun.
Oh, okay. Okay, Don. I think you made your point.
Who wears number 80 for the St. Louis Rams?
87 is Paul. I know that.
Who wears number 80?
I know this one. I get into it, too, because I have a cursory knowledge.
I don't know.
That's right.
Is it Isaac Bruce?
Yes, Isaac Bruce.
Hey,
what's the name of that, Dennis? What's the name of the little middle linebacker for the Rams?
Okay.
London Fletcher.
That's a good name. I like that name.
Okay, I am not
Look, an NFL talk right now.
Who's the defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh, Capers.
I already knew that one.
Okay.
Dom Capers.
And who was Dom Capers formerly with?
Carolina Panthers.
No, he does like his softballs.
Some softballs, though.
Right? Other than softballs, because I know the answer.
Yeah, I know. Why there's softballs.
And look, give me your softball question. I'm sure I'll know.
Goodbye, Dennis.
Can I give a shout out to Montgomery County?
No. Come on. Go away.
No,
enough of you today. Enough today.
Dennis, you are really a pain in the ass today.
Enough.
Okay.
Enough. Goodbye. Go do your personal appearances. Go do your Super Bowl radio show.
Okay.
All right.
Have a pleasant night, Don.
I will.
Mike.
Yes, Dennis.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you,
Bug.
Yes, Dennis.
As always, I love you.
I love you, too.
And Don, I'm out of here.
Thank God.
Oh, come on, Don.
Come on, Dennis.
What?
God, hang you up the phone.
Adios.
This is why Charlie's ready to kill him most of the time. I mean, Charlie gets this off air. He really, when Dennis is just, I want.
Jesus Christ, could you imagine that? Could you imagine coming into the office every day and have him sitting there behind him? Hi!
Dennis's show business motto is always leave the audience wanting less.
Time out. But enough discussion about Rockhead, and please, no more. And listen, Tom, there's no way you can have that job.
Which one?
The phone screener job.
I can have it if I want.
No, you can't. And all of our regular idiot callers, please stop calling. This position is not open to you.
It's open to me. I can come in and do the
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't, Tom. No, you can't, Tom.
No, and you're not Charlie. So stop talking like him. I never want to hear you talk like him again.
All right.
I'll tell you what.
What?
You can be the phone screener when you can spell the word thalidomide. Go look that one up, Tom. I'll see you.
There he goes. Off to his dictionary. Never says goodbye.
We'll be right back.
This is the dawn.
The way it's always been.
The sad secret life of TV's favorite star, Dick Van Dyke.
Boy, does he look awful.
Yeah.
Where do they, even when they go back and they dig up old pictures, yeah, they look awful.
It's awful. And then there's also something about Marie Osmond getting a divorce.
Is there anything in the article about Dick Van Dyke about his brother Jerry helping him when he fell on hard times?
No.
Like maybe taking him into the ice cream soda parlor?
No. Dick Van Dyke still has a network TV show on every week on CBS.
Yeah, and it's a damn fine one, too.
It's been on the air. When's the last time Jerry was on?
Jerry doesn't need it. Jerry.
That's right. It's so lucrative being a soda jockey, making ice cream sodas in Branson, Missouri.
How can I ever get you to stop hating Jerry? Why such poison for the funnier of the Van Dyke brothers?
Because Dick is the funnier. Dick Van Dyke is a genius. Yes, he's an alcoholic. Yes, he's a bunch of things.
I will give you more successful. I will give you longer on TV, but funnier?
Yes.
To my grave, I will battle you on that point.
Listen, when he trips over that ottoman, that's funny.
I give you
funny.
I give you Luther.
And I throw Luther back at you. And I say, Coach, please, that's the show, right, Coach?
My mother's a car.
Okay, enough said. Also in the tabloid this week, who's gay and who's not?
Oh, okay.
I don't know, is that
the one with Ricky Martin on the cover?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
I saw that in the Supermercado last night.
Yes, it is. Let's see, very quickly, who is gay? You know, they put this on the cover.
Sure, so you'll buy it.
And then they don't... Okay, here we go. Who's gay and who's not?
All right.
Okay.
Now, is this definitive proof here?
Of course, it's the tabloid. No, they don't tell. It says, for instance, the guy who's Niles Crane, Fraser Crane's brother.
I thought he was out of the closet.
He lives with a man, Brian Hargrove.
Uh-huh.
He says the gay rumors hounding him will remain rumors. My life is an open book. I just don't intend to read it to anyone.
Yeah, more power to him.
That's what he said. Oh, speaking of gays, is Homo Joe ever going to call us and tell us what happened with his gay rendezvous last night?
Yeah, in the snowstorm. He was supposed to go down to the coffee shop, Xanadu, or whatever.
He's still alive. That's the Janet Jackson had a close encounter of the lesbian kind last year. Up here, yeah.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is coming to the
studio. Charlie Zitbroihill is
here. Hello.
Hi, Charlie.
It's my understanding that they were not able to get together last night because of the weather.
Ah, thank you.
Okay.
That's a shame.
Thank you. Janet Jackson had a close encounter of the lesbian kind last year. when her boyfriend threatened to go public with the claims that Janet Jackson is like Jack Cassidy.
Bisexual.
Jack Cassidy.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Ah, congratulations, Janet Jackson.
I only wish I was alive to be able to sit down on a sofa with Niles Crane. I'd say, here, let's sip some brandy. Let's smoke our cigarettes. Oops, I've set myself on fire.
Oh, dear, caught on my satin robe, and I went up like a light before I got to watch the Ricky Martin video.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
I'm bisexual.
All right, Kevin Spacey.
No, he's not.
Although his mom recently did an interview on the Boston Globe where his mom admitted that she had heard Kevin Spacey was gay.
Now, that's bad.
Yeah, that's bad
when your mom gives an interview where she says she's heard that you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he says it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
He's not gay. Jodie Foster.
Lots of rumors about Jodie Foster.
Yes. Her brother claims she is bisexual. She has no comment on that.
I think that's an estranged brother.
Mm-hmm. Then it says Gwyneth Paltrow. And they say, without a doubt, Gwyneth is straight.
Mm-hmm.
She has never had a sexual relationship with Madonna.
I've never heard
that they were supposedly together.
I've heard Gwyneth Paltrow linked romantically with a lot of leading men that she's met.
They were seen canoodling, as the gossip columns like to say, together at a nightclub. But no, I don't think anything ever came of that.
All right, now, here's a quote that bothers me.
Does canoodling involve the tongue?
I guess it could.
Mm-hmm.
What is canoodling?
Buses, it's what they use in gossip columns.
Snuggling, kissing, that sort of thing.
Canoodling.
Yes.
Okay, now, Matt Damon.
No way.
And I like Matt Damon. He's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance.
I just bought that movie Rounders on DVD.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Great poker movie.
Fantastic movie.
But listen to this. This is a quote, a direct quote from Matt Damon about Brad Pitt.
He's just incredible to look at. If I were gay, he'd be one of the posters on my wall.
You know what that says to me? That's a guy that is secure enough with his masculinity that he can make a comment like that.
Let me see. Christy McNichol has shrugged off the innuendo.
It's been so long since we've seen Christy McNichol, except on strip trivia.
Jim Nabors. Jim Nabors made it a point not to be seen in public with Rock Hudson after rumors surfaced that they were involved in a gay marriage. That's always one of my favorite stories of all time.
That's right.
You are the sunshine of my life.
Spokesperson for Gomer Pyle says he is not gay, so that is the official word.
Okay.
Richard Chamberlain. Let me see. Richard Chamberlain and his former roommate, Martin Rabbit, were lovers.
Martin Rabbit?
Rabbit.
Oh, Rabbit.
He says people brand him gay just because he's a confirmed bachelor, he lives with a man, and he's always been extremely private about his personal life.
So that he won't confirm or deny.
No, he says they branded me gay just because I'm a confirmed bachelor, I live with a man, and I've always been extremely private about my personal life.
Well, go figure. Well, that's interesting. They got every right to do that. I guess Niles is doing the same thing.
Right. Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Woo!
Dick Morris made fishy comments.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. Hillary likes pork.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Then, of course, you have Ellen DeGenitals, gay. George Michael, gay. Chastity Bono, gay.
Guest on this show.
Ricky Martin. It says here that openly homosexual singer George Michael is gaily gushing over super hunk Ricky Martin. But they never allude to the fact that Ricky Martin is gay or not.
And Ricky Martin still would be the biggest, that'd be the biggest rumor.
Right.
And the biggest unsubstantiated rumor.
That's right.
And have we said throughout all of this, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
Absolutely.
There you go. Let me see. From our mailbag, we got a letter from a guy who's anonymous. Dear Don Mike, several years ago I sent you guys unusual names that I would dig up using the 411 database of Bell Atlantic, the phone company for whom I worked. Few times it'd pay off and you would call people with wacky names. I no longer work for the phone company. I now work for the power company. And even though the customer base is smaller, the names are also wacky. I listen to your show every day from 5 to 7:30. Let me see, blah, blah, blah. Here are names you might like. Right, this guy who works for the power company went through the database and found these names. Nita Dicklick. Peter Seaman. Dick Man.
Dick Man.
Lisa Ripsum.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Payne.
Yeah,
amen.
Dick Ran Vartian. Now, why he gave us that one, I don't know. That doesn't... Dick Rand, and you spell the last name, V-A-R-T-A-N-I-A-N.
Vartanian.
Vartanian?
Yeah.
Dick Rand Vartanian.
Yeah, I don't
know. That doesn't make any sense. You want to try to call Colin Payne?
Yes, Colin Payne. Reminds me of one of the great football players that we used to follow in the NFL. Harry Colin. Is he still playing?
No.
It's a shame.
For a long time, he would always be our player to watch.
Yes, the player of the year.
Harry Colin used to play for the Detroit Lions. And they never used to goof on his name. Never.
Not at all.
Hello?
Yes, Colin Payne, please.
This is he.
Colin, hello. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We are on the radio right now.
Is that okay with you, sir?
That's fine.
We simply called you because you had an interesting name.
Okay. In regards to what, other than Colin?
Colin Payne.
Oh, you see, if you pronounce it Colin, it's not as funny as if you say Colin.
Colin Payne.
Okay, either way you want to pronounce it, go ahead.
Well, which would you prefer? How do you pronounce your first name?
Colin.
Colin.
But have you ever been referred to as Colin Payne?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
There you go.
That's wacky.
Well, we appreciate your time.
We've been talking to Mr. Colin Payne.
Round of applause for Colin Payne. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Say hi to your sister, Anal Wart. I don't think there were any other good ones on that page.
No,
right?
There was one on there that didn't make any sense at all.
Dick Man?
Dickman.
Hello, is this Dick Man?
Yeah.
I don't think so. How about Peter Seaman?
No.
You know, Meet a Dick Lick? I don't think so.
Colin Payne was top of the list.
All right.
Well, and, you know, he seemed to understand.
Keep trying, buddy.
Right.
Also, we received this from a science fiction newsletter called The Calm Channel.
Okay.
Out of Eugene, Oregon.
The Calm Channel, whatever.
Listen, I don't know how an article about this show ended up in this publication.
Oh, wow.
Because, no, it's a good article.
Okay, good.
But here's some of the topics in this article. Rather, articles in this issue of this science fiction magazine.
The Calm Channel?
Mm-hmm. Harsh Realm Canceled. That's the new series that was written by Chris Carter from The X-Files.
Right.
Let me see. There will be a Spider-Man movie. They have an article about that.
Well, now it's making sense why they wrote about this show. You've talked about, sci-fi, and you like Spider-Man.
Will the X-Files have an eighth season?
Mm-hmm.
Will there be a movie about the TV show Sliders? Will there be an X-Men movie? George Lucas reveals the actor chosen to play Anakin Skywalker in the next Star Wars movie.
See, right now I'm smelling a printing press in the basement of the science building,
right.
That's for sure.
So then you go through all of this crap, and on page 12, it has...
12th page.
Yes. Radio review.
Really?
And then a guy named David Xavier writes this.
Hello, my name is David Xavier. I would like to write an article about the Don and Mike show.
Calling themselves radio gods, Don and Mike are a refreshing change from other lame radio personalities whose names are not worthy enough to be mentioned in my article. Headquartered in Washington, D.C. and syndicated to over 50 radio stations nationwide, Don and Mike host a 4.5-hour program each weekday. Don and Mike cover a wide range of topics each day, and whether they're telling a caller he or she is too stupid to guess a secret sound, scheming to get their names on TV, calling a couple who live with a horse in their house, or giving women birthday spankings on the telephone, Don and Mike refuse to conform to the stupid guidelines that program directors and station managers try to enforce.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Then they go, it's like a paragraph about me, paragraph about you. I got to read you this. You know who got the most press in this article?
Who?
Dennis.
All right.
Okay, so they got a paragraph about me,
uh-huh.
A paragraph about you. Then it says, the supporting cast to this fantastic program are Buzz Burbank, the news director, who has an open marriage and admits he and his wife have swapped. Dennis Murphy is a man with only one arm and half a tongue.
Right.
Dennis practices poor hygiene by rarely flossing or brushing his teeth and has what is described as oozing toes. Per the request of Don and Mike, Dennis has jumped from an airplane, run with the bulls, visited a whorehouse, and smelled their farts to determine the winner of a farting contest. Listening to Dennis is like watching a car wreck. The possibility of witnessing something gross is strong, but you can't help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There are many other regular callers who contribute to the greatness of this show. Then he writes some of his favorite moments on the show. Don shaves his head to pay off a bet. Don and Mike call Victoria's Secret to complain about fewer catalogs being mailed. Mike pays off a bet by allowing Dennis Murphy to spend the night at his house. Only if Dennis is blindfolded, so while being driven in front of the house, he won't be able to find it.
turning off all the lights in the radio studio and using a black light to detect all bodily fluids on the walls.
Mm-hmm. He's got some good moments there.
Chairs and broadcast equipment and discussing farty etiquette over the air with Don's wife.
Very good.
And that is in the Calm channel.
Well, hey, that's nice. I don't know what the circulation is, but...
Probably two. Probably me and the guy who sent it to me.
You know, anytime you get it, it looks like one of those, you know, those email things,
yep.
Right?
Paste and cut it is.
Very good. Absolutely. All right, well, good for them. You know, any publicity is good publicity.
Probably nice. Garbage. And then I'm just going to mention this very quickly. For people who live in cities where the show can no longer be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they can't hear me now,
mm-hmm.
but maybe they know people who can be told this.
Right.
We got sent an email from the management of our station in Iowa City, Iowa, KCJJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you when I was on vacation at Christmas time, right. I actually picked the station up
mm-hmm.
in Maryland. The station is in Iowa, and they're at 1630 on the AM dial, but they're 100,000 watts. So when it gets dark, they go forever.
Right.
Well, the station from Iowa sent us a whole bunch of emails they have received from people in Chicago, Cleveland, Nashville, Miami,
wow.
Minneapolis, St. Paul,
wow.
Cincinnati,
that's great.
And Detroit. All of these people hear our show on 1630 AM.
That is incredible. I'm going to have to try that because cool. I'd love to hear that.
And here's one of the average letters that they sent. Hello, KCJJ. Please enter me in your super radio giveaway. Though I live in Minneapolis, I am a listener to KCJJ. I know that sounds odd with over 50 stations in the Twin Cities. However, I came across your station out of boredom with my local radio and a fascination with what I could find at the end of the AM band. In fact, the sixth button on my car radio is now set to 1630 AM.
That's great.
I enjoy listening to Don and Mike when I drive home from work during the winter.
Yay.
I couldn't stop laughing when they played the match game yesterday afternoon. And then he writes on that he likes the selection of 80s music that they air during the evenings. Your station puts out a solid signal on my car radio, even as I leave my job in downtown Minneapolis.
That is amazing.
Wow. So if you know anybody that lives in the Midwest,
right.
Well, they sent this letter, sent all the way down to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Try this station at 1630.
Yeah, it's a good way. I mean, if you know people that would you'd like to turn on to the show that are in areas where we're not received, maybe this is the way of doing it.
They're like a super station.
But it's great.
100,000-watt clear channel. AM.
Everybody else support your local affiliate, though.
Yeah, right. What are you doing?
Mike's
hold on. We're ready. Mike's going to fart.
And live.
Mm. Well, I did, you know.
I know it wasn't great, but I mean, I thought it was
it's much like
really
the reaction
good.
You gave mine.
I thought it was going to be a lot better. I've had three today that I thought were going to be better.
Can we hear a replay on that?
Yep.
I potted your mic up all the way.
Yeah,
give you all the technical support it could.
They usually, when they're recorded in here, they're better than anything else.
Okay, you ready?
No HOV restrictions.
Oops, hold on. Wait, take two?
Two.
You want to keep that one?
Or do you want this one?
Here's the one that you laid down earlier. That one? Rob, can you cue up his new one again? So I can compare?
This is tough.
Okay, which one do you want? Do you want this one?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
this one.
Yep. I want that one. I want the one I did in here.
Really?
I prefer it. You don't prefer that one?
I think the other one has much more personality. Let me hear him again.
I like the audio quality of the one I recorded in here.
All right. Here's the new one. Here's the old one.
Boy.
Sorry for me. There's no. If I have a vote, I think the other one is better.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have a vote
okay,
on this one. I'm going to keep this one. I like the sound. Let me hear him just one more
okay.
time.
All right, no,
just to make sure.
It's your fart.
You're so vain.
It's your fart.
You know, can I be honest with you? I'd like to produce one that was better than both of those. And you know, otherwise we wouldn't be having this discussion. It wouldn't be, there'd be just a slam dunk good one. And I thought that was it. That's why I stopped the show.
That's all right. Here's the new one. Here's your brand new one.
Yeah, I like it the way it turns out.
Here's the other one.
There's no reason we can't use them both.
We can cart them both up.
I know we can, but you should have a main fart, the fart that you identified.
The one I recorded in here is the, with the option. Now, every time we have this happen, like when you grab the microphone, that can necessarily blow the other one out of the water.
Yes, I've always been of the mindset that...
Yeah, I think it's true. Constantly update them.
The new farts that I have just replace the old ones. That's why I was giving you that option.
Yeah, I'd like to keep that one because I just kind of like the timber, the way it trails.
Let me hear the new one again.
All right. And it's the audio in this studio, too, which is the best. This is the best recording studio in the building.
All right, let me hear it again. The new fart.
It's going to fart.
Here's the new one.
That little...
Here's the old one. My old friend. Goodbye, old friend.
I know you like that one because it was
so powerful.
Stronger and more violent.
Powerful. Look at the power of that fart. That's a powerful fart, Mike. Well, now the tape won't re-cue.
There's a short one, though. The other one was actually longer. See, that's like a one-second fart, and then you get... Yeah, just that little tail off. You know, it's like castanets.
Let me hear mine.
Okay. Well, you see, yours is better than mine.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
not as full.
But you know, we're like Dick Van Dyke and Jerry Van Dyke when it comes to farts. I had no idea.
I think mine is better than the one that you just kept, but I think the one that you just threw away is better than mine.
Really?
Yes.
Based on its violence and timber.
Yes. But here's the mother. I mean, that still is the standard of which all farts will be, be judged by.
Try the chilling. Really, that's my recommendation. Try the chilling.
All right, well, Rob, replace Mike's fart.
Yep.
Better it done.
Thank you very much.
New fart for Mike.
Great, and we're still waiting on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, as soon as Zip Boy does his, we will be ready for an episode of Who Farted.
Zip Boy.
But now we've played the fart so many times, people are going to know them, for goodness
sake. Yeah, we shuffle them all up and put people under pressure, you know, just like the farts were under pressure.
Tapping touch tones there they are again. Let's get a caller 100 right now.
Right.
And a prize package we've selected especially for you. A shot to win up to $10,000 lies straight ahead with the secret celebrity laugh. Good luck. Be the 100th caller right now at 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sweet, merciful crap!
Get ready, Baltimore, for the first Las Vegas-style show of the new millennium. Wednesday, February 2nd, the entire Don and Mike Show family returns to Bohagers, 701 South Eden Street, right in Charm City. The show starts at 9. Don't miss the fun, hon. It is entirely new for 2000. Be cool for your viewing pleasure. But still as raunchy as ever. Come check out the new Bo-Dome. Call Bohagers at 410-563-7220 for information and directions. Do not miss it.
When do I get to touch your breath?
What a girl wants, what a girl needs.
Yeah, that's right. Week from tonight.
Be good, or they'll put you in a sack and take you to Spain. The Don and Mike Show.
Week from tonight.
Oh, boy.
Las Vegas-style show, your 2000 edition.
Yeah.
1 week from tonight at Bohagers in Baltimore.
It's going to be a big one.
Friday, it's our annual Super Bowl show. Live on tape from Rudy Martsky's house.
Yes, his palatial estate in hot Atlanta, Georgia.
You said palatial, right?
Yes.
I thought you said palatial.
Palatial, well, you know, I don't know what kind of party it's going to be.
From his palatial estate.
I just want to say, based on some of the guests I've heard, a very male-oriented crowd, I certainly hope it's not going to be there.
Well, Mouse will be there.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to my palatial estate.
Here's my party favor. Friday, that's when you will hear our Super Bowl show from Atlanta. Next Wednesday, Vegas-style show 2000 in Baltimore. Valentine's Day, we have a hot tub show coming up, and sometime very soon, the return of Strip Trivia.
Right,
for the year 2000.
Fantastic.
Okay, we'll get our caller 100 here in one moment. I just want to hip you to something we're going to be trying in a second.
Okay.
You know, we love the medical information line.
Oh, they're great.
And we think we finally have got a phone number where the system won't crap out on us.
So we can actually play the game?
Yeah, and hopefully... Rob will have the book here.
Right.
Rob will be able to play you against me.
That's good, and we can do perhaps mouth rot in the green iguana.
Let me just check this out. This is where we call a medical information line.
Right.
A line that gives free 24-hour service on a variety of topics.
This is Health Information Library. If you would like to continue this message in English, press 1.
Okay.
Please listen carefully to the following options. To reach our health information library, press 1 now. Welcome to Inova Health Sources.
Now you should just be able to punch in a 4-digit code.
This information is intended to increase your awareness and understanding of specific...
And we try to find
services throughout
the medical ailment that is the funniest out of two blind numbers we're
that
given.
That is right, and that's how we play the game. Whoever has the funniest, you know, moves to
if
the next tier.
If you know the number of the topic you would like to hear, enter that 4-digit number now.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Vaginal cysts, polyps, and warts.
Now, I want to
see it works.
You have a distinct advantage having that book in your hand.
I was just given by Rob one funny number to look at.
Vaginal
as you can
cysts.
See, Mike, there are roughly 2,000 different ailments in this book.
Oh, that's incredible.
This is the most complex, but let it be known that 6470
right?
is vaginal cysts and polyps.
I always got to do my system where I write it down.
So write it down. In just a moment, we will unveil the year 2000 edition of the Medical Information Line.
Yay. And the way it works, Rob gives us a choice of two, and whoever picks the funniest is the winner.
It's like the pyramid. You get four in a row.
That's right.
You're the winner.
That's right.
And once you and I play, mm-hmm. and we get a winner out of the two of us,
yes.
then we'll either play against old Father Time,
right.
Jack
right.
Kent Burbank, or we'll let someone off the telephone play against us.
Yeah, the medical information. And there are some mighty funny melodies out there.
There are some
yeah.
great ones. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. John and Mike, I'm caller 100.
Right, yes you are. What's your name, my friend?
This is JJ from Chambersburg.
JJ.
Yeah, I won the Iron Giant stuff a couple months ago.
Oh, you did? So you're a repeat winner.
Yes, sir.
Well, how about that?
All right, JJ. Now you've won the TBS Superstation Ripley's Believe It or Not prize pack.
All right.
That's right. Watch Ripley's Believe It or Not, all new original series. That's tonight at 8:05 Eastern, 7:05 Central on TBS Superstation.
Yeah, you can add that to your collection of prizes.
All right, cool.
Since you have told me that you are what we in the business refer to as a prize pig.
Yes, sir.
Someone who has won more than one prize, you will play for the pay of $1,000.
All righty.
$1,000. Secret celebrity laugh number 3. Good luck. I'll play you this nationally known celebrity laughing. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Frank Sinatra.
And we wish you...
Speed. Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There. He's the very identifiable, high-profile, secret celebrity laugh. If you, the prize pick, can answer, you will win $1,000.
Frank,
yes, 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 yes. That was very good.
No, it wasn't. Hello.
Yeah.
Well, you still get a yes.
Yeah, he's just trying to keep me on.
I know.
Keep it a little fresh.
Appreciate the variety.
Thank you very much.
You know, you should listen to me, though. Listen to your wife about the fart thing.
I'm willing if they haven't erased it yet. They probably have already, but
He doesn't listen to me when I tell him that the other fart was best. But he comes back during the commercial season. You know what?
Yeah.
I just talked to my wife, and she agrees that, that the other fart was better.
She said the first one was stronger, that the other fart was wimpy.
Yeah. That's typical.
Much louder.
You don't listen to me, but you listen to her. How many times have I heard that?
I know. I'm out of my mind.
Listen, who is that for $1,000?
How about George Michael's George Michael Sports Machine?
Right. Interesting guess, though.
Every guess is a
Cleo.
Yeah, we've got to give him some limited credit. We have not had that guess before. TV's George Michael. Before we play the medical information game,
yes.
And I do this with a bit of trepidation, I'm going to try to call Leah Remini.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to keep it brief.
Yeah.
Only because we haven't heard from her now in over a week.
Yeah, right.
And we hadn't heard from her before that
right.
for about a week.
Yeah.
And since we talked to Kevin James
yeah.
about our upcoming guest appearance on King of Queens, we haven't heard anything from her. I mean, for a while, she would call us every single day, and we had to, if you'll pardon the pun, beat her off with a stick. And boy, would I like to beat her off with a stick.
Do you think there's a chance that they're trying to avoid us?
How else can you explain
it? She'll have to tell us the truth. She's very honest. If she's anything, she's honest. So we can ask her if we're putting her and Kevin in an uncomfortable position.
We will call the star of King of Queens in her dressing room.
We made it clear, right, that Jerry doesn't need to win the contest. I mean, we just want, you know, anything they can give us a little bit better than what we had before.
It's just, you know, the girl used to call us virtually every day,
mm-hmm.
and now we hear nothing.
Interesting.
Right? I mean, didn't she used to be almost like a regular guest on this show every day?
Yes, I'm disturbed. They might, you know, simply be deciding to cut off all contact. The disc jockeys can't be on the show again. Cut off all contact.
Stop talking to the disc jockey.
Change all the phone numbers so the disc jockeys won't get them.
All right, there's the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
There's no answer.
Maybe they're on hiatus for a week.
If you do get her, congratulate her. I have no details, but the New York Daily News says Monday night CBS set viewership records for the King of Queens.
Maybe that's why they're not calling.
I'm trying her at home now.
It should be pointed out that...
Delamar Entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Hi, is Leo there? This is Donna Mike.
Hi, no, she's not. She's in New Orleans.
She's in New Orleans. Oh. What is she doing there?
She's, they have the syndication guys.
Oh, the syndication thing for all the TV shows.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You're on the air.
I am?
Yes.
Please tell her that we called.
Okay.
Tell her that we called and that, yes, it.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Oh, it's Charlie. Charlie Broyles is coming
to
the studio.
How are you?
And Charlie knows everybody associated with Leah Remini, unlike us. We thought you were a total stranger. We didn't know that our producer actually knew you.
Oh, we know her.
I've talked to you before.
We know her. We know Michelle.
Oh, yes, of course.
We do.
Okay.
Wow.
You weren't acting like you knew her.
I didn't remember until this moment.
Okay. Thank you.
I did hear that...
I feel so special.
Kevin may be in Atlanta this weekend, so I'll try to get in touch with him.
Oh, good. Maybe he'd like to go to one of those bars that Leah says he never goes to. One of those bitty tars.
Right. Well, he can go out for ribs with us.
Ah, very good.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Hey, don't forget, I'm going to have Bart with me.
I don't know how much bitty tarring I'm going to be able to do this weekend. I don't think I'm going to be able to go to the Gold Club this weekend.
Really?
Well, what am I supposed to do? Take the boy with me?
I know. I'm not going to be a bad influence. You know, you usually, it's a family trip for you.
Bart and I generally will split off and go somewhere, and Mike will.
We are not under this. I just go out for ribs.
Right.
Yes, hello?
You to still be on the phone?
Oh, no, we don't need you to be on the phone. No.
Can you tell us, when is Leah getting back?
Today, tonight.
Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, would you tell her that we called?
And we miss her.
And please tell her we won't be ignored. Leave that message. We won't be ignored.
Okay, I will.
Okay?
All right.
Bye,
thank you. Bye, Charlie.
Do you hear the enthusiasm?
Yeah, all the girls love Charlie.
She's talking to us. She's talking to the guys who were on the radio, and they were like, are you done with me yet? And then,
you guys are a little intimidating.
Yeah,
I have to kind of be careful what I say.
And Broyho comes in and is like, hi, Charlie.
Dragon, we're just sick of it. We've got our full of it this week. Our feelings are constantly hurt by that, man.
We really have. All right, we'll see. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Just tell her, again, that message is we won't be ignored.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Keep doing the great job. It's great to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too, bye.
Bye. No idea who she is.
I didn't have a clue.
No idea.
I did not have a clue.
All right, here's what it says. The Infinity Broadcasting CBS blowout. This is a party at the Super Bowl. Oh,
that's good.
CBS television stations and their guests joined for a spectacular night of entertainment and dinner. Headlining our evening is Kevin James, star of the CBS hit comedy, King of Queens, and music will be provided by, Buster Poindexter.
Oh, Lord!
I got one thing to say to that.
Oh, here we go.
Not very good.
Can't blow the other one. Hey, did they find mine? Or Rob, was it mine found or erased?
Did you find mine? Yeah, old one?
It's the old one. It's back.
All right, your old one is back.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Hold on, it's one channel. Let me make it stereo.
Thank you, honey.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
How far this show has come.
And musical guest Buster Poindexter, which made me fart. Don't miss this fabulous party. Coat and hat check service will be provided for your convenience.
Oh,
this
boy!
This will be on Saturday night.
Oh, really?
Super Bowl Saturday night with Kevin James. So maybe we can, as you say, go have ribs with him. Maybe we can find a nice bitty tar.
It's interesting.
Maybe I'll let Bart just...
play video games. I think there's video games in the hotel room.
Right. Maybe I'll have to change. Yeah, that's good. I think that'd be interesting.
And we'll take Kevin out to a Biditar.
That's an interesting concept.
Because he took me to a night.
If he's working Saturday night, that means that Friday night he would...
Playtime.
He'd be free.
Yeah. Yeah. He took me to a nice Biditar that last time we were in California.
Really?
Yes, when I went with him.
The night of the earthquake.
Him and his Chinese girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We went to that place and they dropped me off at
the other place with
Leah and her boyfriend.
That's when you ended up at a different hotel.
Yeah,
right?
Because he took me to the Biditar right out by the airport where it says Girls, Girls, Girls by Carl's Jr.
You'll never know that I was pounding on your door after that earthquake, too.
He's not awake. He's not awakening.
You don't listen to me.
I know. Told you. That's the better fart.
That's it. I guarantee you and my wife are right.
Who do you listen to? You listen to her. How many times have I got to hear it? It's her. It's Laura.
I'll tell you.
Laura says it's better.
I questioned her enthusiasm, though. You know, I said, because, I mean, when we're in the house, you know, it's like a punch in the stomach and she runs away.
All right, stop it. Are you ready to play the medical information line game?
It's been a long time and I'm ready.
Okay, let's do a commercial set.
Good.
And we'll come back in the squared circle, me against you.
Yeah.
To see who can put four in a row. The funniest medical ailments, and everybody out there, stand by. We'll give you a chance to play also right after them.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And that night was my son's birthday party. My wife invited the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
I know.
Right, Grandma Glaze?
Hey, you bless it, I'll eat it.
He's not coming.
Who?
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
Needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think. No
f***ing
D now?
Hey! Don and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ZD, because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
Pork. They like to eat it and love to do it. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right. Get out your big book, Rob.
Right.
Give me the phone number.
Okay.
Let me explain how we do this again.
It's an old game, but we're bringing it back, and it's been a while since we played it because the great old number we have went out of business, right?
Basically what it is, it's a medical information line.
Right.
People, if you're at home and you're feeling sick and you don't want to pay $100 to go see the doctor, and who does? All these different hospitals and healthcare plans now have phone numbers you can call, and what you do is, for instance, if you have a problem with arthritis, you look in the book here, it says arthritis, and you would key in 4172.
That's right.
And it would give you a message on arthritis. So we're going to call now
and to the main system, and then we'll be able to hop around from ailment to ailment as Rob gives us the numbers.
The goal of the game is Rob will give us each two blind numbers.
Right.
And the one number could be something as pedestrian as the common cold.
Right.
And the other could be something great, like hemorrhoids or...
Not brought in the green iguana.
Vaginal warts, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
There's a definite winner and a loser
right.
in each of them.
Hemorrhoids, and, you know, one of the top five.
And if you can put four in a row,
right.
or is it three in a row this time? I mean, if you put three in a row, you're the winner.
Three in ascending comedic order.
Yes. Each one has to be funnier than the previous. Like,
for example, it would be, hemorrhoids, genital warts, irritable bowel syndrome.
Right. That would be a winning trifecta
like that.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Welcome.
If you would like to continue this message in English, press 1.
Oh, yes.
Please listen carefully to the following options. To reach our Health Information Library, press 1 now. Welcome to Inova Health,
all right, now, Robbie?
Health Information Library.
Yes.
This is
give me my two choices, please, to start the game.
You may begin with either 4908 or 7137.
Should not be used for diagnosis.
I'll take the second one.
As a substitute for health care.
7137.
All right, hold on.
If you know the number of the topic you would like to hear, enter that four-digit number now.
Okay, I chose.
Or
7137.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Come on.
Incontinence in women.
Oh, boy.
That's a good start.
That is.
You want to start with one that's not real funny.
Right.
So that the next one, guaranteed, will be funnier than incontinence in women.
Chronic urethritis. Stress incontinence is caused by weak pelvic floor muscles.
Now, what do I press to get back to the menu?
Childbirth or due to obesity. At menopause, the ovaries stop making estrogen, resulting in...
Back up, hit 2.
Which may cause drooping incontinence in women.
Now
you're
again.
Lost that you were incontinent in women. Incontinent in women. Incontinent in women. Incontinent in women.
Okay. If you can, you're in four followed by your next choice, and that should work.
All right, then give Mike the two new numbers.
Okay, Mike, choose between 7410 and 5271.
Incontinent is called.
That'll go with 7410.
7410.
Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Back pain.
Ah, great.
Good start.
All Americans have low back pain.
That's a good start.
In their lives.
All right.
After
all right, round number two. And mine has to be funnier than incontinence in women.
Nice.
Okay, Robbie, what are my choices?
You can go between 4722 or 7414.
Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
The first one, what was it?
4722.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Come on.
Herpes, lips,
yeah,
and eyes.
Yes.
You're on a roll.
Blisters or cold sores.
Yes.
Most often
that's
caused
good.
By herpes.
That's good. That's a good pyramid I got working. Female
percent of the
incontinence topped by herpes.
They're caused by herpes simplex virus 2.
All right.
Percent of the time.
Hooray for herpes. Okay, give Mike his choices.
Cause genital
hooray for herpes,
sex organ infections.
I'm sorry, 4762 or 4682?
4682.
4682.
Enter your
back pain.
4682.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
There you go.
Detecting a hearing loss. Hearing loss.
That's a big loser.
Back
pain.
When a hearing loss.
And hearing loss.
An individual may not know.
Oh, that's weak, and you know it.
Back pain and hearing loss.
That was hearing loss was designed to be the unfunny one of the two. If you'd like to know what your other option was,
some people will see.
No, but I'm trying to say which is
neither one is funny.
That's right. Neither one is funny.
That's not a winning hand.
Damn.
It's not a winning hand.
All right.
Let me see if I get one that can beat herpes.
Okay.
If I can't, we'll play again.
All right.
Hearing evaluation.
4744 or 7166.
Now one of these is funnier than herpes.
There's a funny one in every one, and I think, yes, it escalates.
Give me the numbers again.
4744 or 7166.
It has to be funnier than herpes.
7166.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Prolapsed bladder or rectum.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc,
you're the word rectum. The word rectum.
I'm a winner.
I'm on that round. Congratulations.
I'm a winner.
They repair over time, but are never exactly the same.
All right, give me two just so I can see if I can pick one funny one.
Okay.
There's back pain and hearing loss. That doesn't count.
Hold on, I'm listening.
The wall of the vagina can sag. The front wall of the vagina holds up the bladder. The back wall holds the lower gut or rectum.
That's good.
Okay, give Mike his two choices. You start the next round. Okay, Mike, you go between 4952 and 6903.
Immediately after childbirth.
4952.
Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Gonorrhea. Gonorrhea is a commonly transmitted disease that is treatable.
A tough start, though.
Sometimes.
Gonorrhea is a good one. Gonorrhea could be a third-round winner.
A thought
with back pain.
And a half million cases.
All right, Robbie, give me mine, please.
Most occurring.
6464 or 7117.
Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
Oh, 7117?
Yes, 7117.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Cesarean section.
C-section.
Good start. Beautiful start.
What your birth experience is.
Beautiful start. Anything is funnier than a C-section. Oh, I should be going to Atlantic City tonight. I feel lucky. Okay, Mike, yours has to be
funnier than gonorrhea. So you have to have one on there that's funnier than gonorrhea, Rob.
Baby is born
7,000 or 4763?
7,000.
Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
Welcome to the Health Information Library. Low-fiber diet.
What was the other one?
To treat a wide range of...
Don't tell.
That's right.
Okay.
Don't tell because we might need it for another round.
It's an important nutrient for health.
Damn low-fiber.
Need
for optimal function.
All right, give me another one.
You can go 4765 or 4890.
Has to be funnier than C-section.
Four-digit topic number, please.
4890.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Overcoming fear of childbirth.
Not funnier.
I'm knocked out.
You may wonder if your baby will be healthy.
That round, that's the end of the round.
No winners there.
No winners that time. No winners.
You want to play against someone on the telephone?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, let's go to, who is this? Hello, Dell?
These feelings reflect the emotional process.
Hold on a second.
Hello, Dell? Hello? Hey, Dell.
Yes.
Hi, you want to play?
Yes, I'd love to play.
All right. Robbie, give this guy two choices. He can go first. Hello, Dell.
Hello.
6121 or 6723?
6723, please.
What do these feelings? Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
6723.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Fetishism. Fetishism is one of the sexual disorders known as paraphilias. People who have paraphilias are sexually aroused by
Let this guy play against Buzz. Let's let Buzz play.
All right.
I give Buzz a couple of choices, please, Robbie. All right, Buzz, from you I need 5,400 or 4,873.
I'll go with 4,873, Rob.
48.
Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Poison.
Good start, Buzz.
Poison.
Household chemicals and cleaners, medication.
Great band.
Plants are
great starter.
Most poisonings involve.
Right now we go back to our guy, right?
Yeah, now Dell, are you there, Dell?
4 years old.
Hello, Dell.
Many involve adults using chemicals.
She's there.
I got to separate the lines. Dell.
Yes.
Hi there. Now we need. Dell has to come up with one funnier than.
Fetishism.
Okay. What's his choices, Robbie?
It's a tall order, but I believe he can do it with 7728 or 4372.
7728, please.
7728.
All chemicals and cleaners. Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
7728.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Earache in children.
Bye, Dell.
That means that Buzz can actually close him out if he gets a funnier one than poison.
All right, give Buzz two choices, please. All right, Buzz, go with 6464 or 4358.
Oh, that's a tough one. I think I'll take the 6464. Is that it?
Yep. Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Testicular self-examination.
That's good.
Abnormal growth on the testicles. Testicular cancer.
You got it. Way to go.
All
right, so what's Buzz's pyramid thus far?
Poison and testicular self-examination.
All right, one more and you're a big winner, Buzz.
Okay.
All right, Buzz.
Give him two more numbers, Robbie.
7191 or 7771.
Self-exam should be performed.
7191, the first one.
7191.
Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Yeast infections.
Yeah. I think so. That is a wrinkle.
Yeast likes to grow in warm, dark, and moist spots. The area to the outside opening of the birth canal is called the vulva. It is very sensitive to getting a yeast overgrowth.
There you go.
When this happens,
so again, his winning pyramid was Buzz. What did you have?
Poison, testicular self-exam, and yeast infection.
I think
we're going to analyze the entire game. You took away the prize with incontinence in women, herpes, and something to do with the rectum.
Collapsed bladder and rectum, yes.
If you have a yeast infection, you will first notice some itching or burning.
Okay, Robbie, do you have enough for us to play a few more games?
We have another for another round.
Sure. All right, then let's do a break, and we'll come back, and we'll play with some people on the telephone.
Good.
Excellent idea. It'll be me and Mike and Buzz, all of us, against people on the telephone for another round of the medical information line.
You'll be examined to make sure yeast is the cause.
Right, okay. Right. Stay there. We will be back with more of the stupid game in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike.
Week from tonight at Bo Hager's in Baltimore. Don't forget, you have to be 21 to get in. Okay, real quick, before we go to Buzz and news and comment time, we have all kinds of people who want to play the medical information line game with us.
Excellent.
Let's go to Wichita. Here is Jason listening to us on KFH. Hello, Jason. Jason?
Hi, I'm here. Ready to go.
All right, here you go. Jason, thank you for listening. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
You understand the game?
Totally.
All right, hold on. I got to dial the number up on a separate line. I'll come back to you when it's your turn to choose.
Great.
Hold on. The way this is going to work with Jason is Rob's going to give Jason a choice of two.
They'll be competing against one of us. We'll be given a choice of two, and then they, you know, they have to be three ascendingly funny items.
Welcome to the Health
and... I think me and you will play as a team, Mike.
Okay, great.
We'll make a mutual decision on the number that we like the best.
Please listen carefully to the following options.
Now I want to press what, Robbie?
To reach our health information library.
Four.
Press one.
Yes, I believe so.
To Welcome to Inova Health Sources Health Information Library. This information is intended to increase your awareness and understanding.
All right, we'll go first.
Okay.
Give Mike and I the numbers.
Gentlemen, you have the choice between 4412 and 7539.
Go ahead, Mike.
7539.
I'm sorry. I've missed your dialing instructions. Please enter the category number now.
7537
Topic number, please.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Here we go.
Ice therapy.
Ice therapy. Good start.
First 48 to 72 hours.
Ice therapy.
It is safe, effective, and cheap.
Good and boring.
Ice therapy, cold therapy, cryotherapy.
Good. Good choice. Okay, Jason, here are your two topics, and they are.
Jason, 7173.
You have that, Jason? Hold on. 7173.
I missed the first part of it.
7173 or 4540.
7173.
Hold on.
Hold on a second.
Cover the injured area. Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
7173.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Tired. I'm just tired, doctor.
Tired. That's a good start. I like that.
There
are many causes that include poor health.
Not really funny, though.
Not funny at all.
Anemia. Hormone imbalances.
All right, Robbie, give me the next two. I'll pick the next one for you.
Okay, choose betwixt 4416 and 4688.
Eight.
Take the second one.
Enter your four-digit
eight.
Please.
There has to be funnier than...
Ice therapy.
Welcome to the Health Information Library. How noise affects hearing.
Sorry,
I don't think that'll do it.
I'm sorry I lost it for us.
That's okay.
However,
you still got to get it, Jason.
Yes,
you still got to get a funnier one than tired.
Jason still has to beat us. Okay, Jason, you have a chance to win here.
Great.
Jason, give him his numbers, Robbie.
Choose carefully. 5413 7149.
7149.
Hold on, Jason.
There we go with the number.
Often accompanies this
time.
What's the number again?
7149er.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Osteoporosis.
No, he's a big loser.
Not funny.
He's a big loser.
Our bones can become weak.
There you go. Jason, neither one of us won.
Damn. Sorry.
Damn. Bye, Jason. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
All right, let's try one more guy. Hey, Bill.
It's Phil.
Phil.
Phil Connor.
Phil, where are you calling from?
From Rockville.
Thank you for listening on good old WJFK. Okay, do you have two numbers for Bill? Let's Phil start first, please, Robbie. Let's begin with Phil.
7768 or 7769er?
68.
All right,
7768.
Such as walking. Osteoporosis. Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
7768.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Tonsillitis and tonsillectomy.
Good start.
That produce special white cells.
That's a good start.
Excellent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll go first this time. Okay. Do you mind?
Not really.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
5411-4419.
I'm going to go the first one. What was the first one?
5411.
Full shape masses. Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Oh, not funny.
Intestinal gas.
What'd you go and do that for?
The amount produced varies from person to person.
I want to hear this for a second.
Some gas comes from trace gases that are natural products from the breakdown of foods. Foods that promote gas tend to be high in fiber or carbohydrates that are hard to digest, such as beans, peas, whole grains, cabbage, and related vegetables, and onions.
Okay. All right, let's go back to Phil.
He started with tonsillitis. It has to be funnier than tonsillitis.
All right, Phil, here's your next two choices.
Okay.
Phil, choose carefully. You're not a shoo-in. 7748 or 7750?
7750.
7750.
Hold on, please.
Sigh and breathe deeply. Enter your four-digit topic.
7750.
Gotcha.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Potty accidents.
He's a winner.
When the child is ready to learn, genuine readiness.
We're still in it, though.
Oh, I bet he's a winner.
Than boys.
All right, hold on, please. Hold on. Give Mike a try. I've already played the music. Potty accidents.
And Mike? Ours has to be funnier than...
That's my guess, but Rob has to give us one of the two.
That is funnier than a test.
Right. All right, you're right. We're still in it.
Yes.
Premature with that.
Right. 4206-7812.
4206.
4206.
The child's self-esteem. Enter your four-digit topic number. I'm sorry, this category is not available.
Okay. Okay. Okay, let me go to a backup then. 4156-7875.
What do you think? I screwed the pooch every time the 78 one.
78, yeah.
7875.
I've missed your dialing good instructions. Luck. Please enter... Welcome to the Health Information
Library. Sex in the later years.
There's a school of thought that would say nobody is an intestinal gas.
We're going to have to stop.
Sex is likely to...
Hold on, Buzz, you want to hear this?
Time for you.
Put it on cassette for me. I'll listen on the way home.
Sex at age 78 is not as good as it was at age 18.
Pretty damn good, though.
There are positive and negative changes.
I'm afraid... that really sex with senior citizens is not funnier than intestinal gas.
It isn't. Was there one that was funnier?
That was intended to be
the funniest
that
one.
That was intended to be the winner.
No, listen, Phil.
Yeah?
He's the winner.
Congratulations, Phil. You did beat us with the potty training of children.
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
Potty accidents, excuse me.
Hey. You win the CBS Superstation Ripley's Believe It or Not prize pack. Watch Ripley's Believe It or Not. All new original series, that's tonight on CBS Superstation, and we thank you.
I will. Thank you.
Hold on. Now, let's see, do you have enough numbers for us to go to a single elimination?
I believe so.
Okay. Why don't you throw out some numbers right now?
Okay.
All right? Throw out numbers, and it'll be me against Mike against Bob. How many numbers do you
have?
What it is,
this is not an ascending order. Right. This is simply the funniest of the three.
This is a random.
It's a good one.
Okay.
What are our choices? Let me write down our choices.
The choices for this one will be... 4763,
5403,
and
4354. Okay. I'll go first, I guess. You guys care?
Yep, go on, please.
All right. I will
take... It's a California company called the Sexuality Library.
For my choice, I will take...
289-5403.
5403.
Enter your four-digit topic number, please.
This is sudden death.
This could be a...
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Dehydration.
I'm a loser.
Discomfort and constipation.
I'm such a loser. Dehydration. Mike, do you want to go next? Or do you want Buzz to go next?
I'm going to go next with 4354.
4354.
Enter your
That'll be 4763 for Buzz.
Right.
What was your number?
4354.
Welcome to the Health Information Library.
Facelifts. Facelifts are designed to decrease the size of...
I bet Buzz is going to be the winner.
Yeah. ...in the face and neck.
I felt good about that
over
4763. That would have been the one I would have chosen, actually.
Topic number, please.
Welcome to the Health Information Library. Incontinence in men.
Congratulations, Buzz.
Way to go, Buzz.
Process
of elimination.
The amount of
elimination
can be a little or a lot. Just give me that book.
That is more
than
enough.
Yeah, I got some better ones than you gave us. I've got more here. I've got more.
Awake.
Oh, come on. There's a million that he didn't give us.
That only happens when sneezing, laughing, or coughing.
Thank you, and call again.
Hey, wait a minute. All right, well. He didn't give us hemorrhoids.
Oh, dear.
Oh, hemorrhoids was in there. Hernia, irritable bowel syndrome, rectal bleeding, rectal itching, rectal polyps. Oh, Christ, there's a million great ones here, Robbie.
I know. Well, I have them. We just never got to them.
Oh, boy. Infertility.
Perhaps another day, no?
Yes, I guess so.
Well, I tell you, those,
herpes,
you
know, lips, mouth, and eyes, Legionnaire's disease, lice, Lyme disease,
lice,
pinworms.
Oh, the worms category.
Oh, they have so much great panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great stuff.
Yeah.
Diaper rash.
There you go. I have that right now.
Acne.
Acne.
Canker sores, fever, blisters, eczema, sunburn, tanning beds, warts. Vaginal warts, anal warts.
Anal warts? Man, that was a home run.
Genital warts, syphilis, vaginitis.
Oh, we could have played that game for an hour, Rob. It's fantastic.
We really could have, for goodness sakes. All right, well, that's the game for now.
It'll get better, I promise you.
I'll run it next time. I'll make sure we got plenty of funny ones next time.
We'll have whatever the heck Rob is.
Dehydration. We'll have more anal warts and less dehydration the next time we play.
I'll bet it was fun playing with people off the telephone.
And just think, the next time we play, we're all going to have genital warts.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news and the comments?
Tonight's headline,
he's not a mobster. He's in the scrap metal business.
Oh, yeah, Tony Soprano.
Is that who the story's about?
A Tale from Soprano Land.
Ah, the Sopranos. Oh, yeah, please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
On a Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Can you imagine winning $10,000 on the radio? Well, she did it, and you can too. Secret Celebrity Lab.
Oh, my gosh, I'm shaking.
Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Hagerstown, Maryland. Hello.
Hi, thanks, Larry. This is for Senator Bob Dole.
Go.
Yes. Don and Mike Garner, you're coming out on the erectile...
Okay, I think that was a gay call. So I cut it because they mentioned two local disc jockeys.
What?
Oh, I see.
Having a beer, listening to the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Carmine Agnello has been telling people he's in the scrap metal business, not the mob business. A district attorney from Queens says the whole thing reminds him of the Sopranos. He says Carmine cornered the scrap metal market there by intimidating the competition and firebombing the uncooperative ones.
For the Weapon City?
Undercover cops say they got an example of this behavior on video after they set up their own phony scrap metal company.
There you go.
If Carmine gets the 25 years, he would join his father-in-law in prison. His father-in-law is John Gotti.
Oh.
Carmine's being held on...
You're not applauding for putting him in jail. You're
applauding for John Gotti.
Of course. Carmine's being held on $10 million bail and putting his lawyer... That's not bail. It's a telephone number.
As Billy Joel sings, I am an innocent man.
I'm just a big John Gotti fan. You have his portrait, in fact.
He's done so much for so many.
The latest episode of The Sopranos didn't do so well in the ratings. Apparently, too many people were watching the Golden Globe Awards.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. I want to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for doing this story.
The Globe Show has scored great ratings. It beat HBO and even beat what NBC usually runs on Sunday night.
I've always been pretty plugged into the national trends.
But it may have hurt HBO's cause to have The Sopranos cast on another network accepting awards. The audience for this year's second episode of The Sopranos was about a third smaller than the audience from the week before.
Oh, did I tell you?
I saw it Tuesday.
Oh, you saw it last night?
Very good. Yes, I did. I watched it.
Did you like it? Wasn't it a good episode?
Oh, it was fantastic. I enjoyed the whole thing. I really did.
How about that sister, huh?
Yeah, that sister.
Oh, see, you know, from an acting standpoint, like when she's driving back from the one of the last meetings with her mother, and she's just in the car,
mm-hmm.
singing her song, and she's lighting up
mother
the joint.
Mother and child reunion.
And she is just, you want to reach into the television set. She is so loathsome.
It was incredible.
What's great is that the mom knows that the daughter just wants to spring her out of the hospital so the daughter can get her out of the way.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's really terrific.
And what about that stuff with Pussy?
Fantastic.
Pussy's an informant for the government.
But I was confused with the stuff about Pussy, you know, because, I mean, it was like, he was kind of, he wanted Tony, he's playing both sides, isn't he?
Yes, but it became obvious.
Jimmy took the hit for him.
Yes, but Pussy has also been talking about Tony to the good guys.
That's right, absolutely. Oh, by the way, they're going to run the Sopranos an hour later this week, hoping that it won't get trounced by the Super Bowl audience.
Well, by that time, I
don't think it will.
And I see what you meant about Carm, too, when she was, you know, lots of the necklaces and stuff.
I told you that. Carm Soprano.
In that particular episode.
Carm Soprano really turned me on to that last episode of The Sopranos. Right. I would do her. I would do her in a second.
And you get to see, you know, Livia's teeth.
Oh,
you know, remember when she's calling her daughter on it? You know, it's like,
I know what you want. I'm going
Carm Soprano.
Edie Falco.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put upon.
You know what they could use, though? Excuse me. I was just going to say, they could use maybe one or two. You know, we got the sister as an added character, and I know, you know, they're into the character-driven, but maybe just use a little more women folk.
Back to the bada-bing.
Not the bada-bing girls, but you're going to get one super hottie on that show.
What happened to Tony's girlfriend? Didn't he have, like, a Russian girl or someone he was banging all the time?
Yeah, maybe a little of that. See, they cover that, don't they? Mm-hmm. They can always bring one of those girls to her.
Oh, by the way, New York firefighters won't be watching next week's episode of NYPD Blue. Their union is leading a national boycott of NYPD Blue because that show...
Because of the thing about them stealing off the dead guy?
Show the firemen stealing jewelry off the body of a dead man.
Oh, really?
Now, the producer has apologized, but he says no one complained when he showed corrupt cops.
Mm-hmm.
The Union for New York's Bravest says the show desecrated the memories of the men who have died in the line of duty.
But those who served.
people didn't forget NYPD Blue, though, in all that time that it was off the air. When it comes to comedies and dramas, Blue was the fourth most popular show last week. It actually came in 10th on the Nielsen's, but remember, the Millionaire Show came in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
You know, that's a phenomenon that I cannot believe.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Still continuing.
NYPD Blue?
No.
Millionaire.
One night last week, the Millionaire Show had 34 million viewers.
That's amazing.
Is that incredible?
Yeah, amazing.
You know, if NYPD Blue wants to keep its ratings high, please make sure, and I've started to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just have Rick Schroeder, as he likes to be called, keep his shirt on. Because if he's trying to be the big boy next, he takes his shirt off, and he looks like he's 10 years old.
But the girlfriend?
Oh, the girlfriend.
She can continue?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I saw the girl with the black curly hair.
Yeah, well, the girl that he's doing on the show last night, once again, Abondanza.
Yeah, but they don't show the nipple.
No, they show
everything but the nipple.
John, I've written letters. They're refusing. They are refusing.
The petition.
I mean, I saw that last night. If you're going to show a girl, you watch them like people.
Yeah, well,
what did you tell me last week?
And
I wasn't wrong
you
about that.
You told me last week that there are more nude chicks on NYPD Blue than ever before, so I watched her last night.
Was at least the side view a pretty good view?
Yes, it was, but I found myself wanting the nipple.
Right,
if you're going to show me that much of a hot girl's big gelatinous boob.
Was I right, though, about the other two women, the two cops?
Yeah.
I mean,
they are so stacked.
They all have big, beautiful breasts.
And you know what? They're the type of girls when they had the clothes on, before I saw them without the tops on.
Uh-huh.
They're the kind of girls that are surprised.
Yes.
Like when you see them dressed and stuff, you don't know they got their gigantic jugs.
Fantastic.
And they take their top. Yeah, all three girls took their tops off last night on NYPD Blue.
So speaking of Golden Globes, that show came in fourth. The Fox post-game show after Sunday's Rams game was fifth. So Friends, in sixth place, was actually the most popular TV story.
But why don't they show the nipple?
Well, it's the commercial TV. More of the advertisers, I think, than anybody else.
Rick Schroeder's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, they showed somebody's ass last night.
I don't think it's fair at all.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean,
I don't think it's fair.
It's not like looking at, you know, her bad genital place. I mean, the nipple is beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
Keep writing those letters.
Next. I will.
Raymond was the next in seventh place, tied with Frasier. Fox's Malcolm in the Middle came in right after Sipowicz and ahead of ER.
You know what I forgot to tell you? We let Catherine, because she didn't have school today, stay up super late last night to the beginning of NYPD Blue. And usually NYPD Blue, you know, it's well into the plot.
Right.
They had that Ricky Schroeder scene right at the very beginning. Catherine's coming. Ew.
I bet.
That was probably heard all across America.
That's right.
Like grown-ups and kids alike.
I'll tell you.
Ew. Just whisked her out of the room right after that.
Ew.
Oh, the lawyer for Bryant Gumbel's estranged wife says Bryant is a serial adulterer. That's the setup for the divorce between June Gumbel and her $5 million a year husband.
Oh, really?
June's lawyer says
June Gumbel
says Bryant just bought an apartment for $10 million, but only sends his wife of 26 years and their two children
$250 a month.
That mean when Bryant used to come home at night, he'd say, June, I'm home.
All right.
Was there more to that story?
Yeah.
That
we'll finish it later.
No, well, come on.
Okay.
Be assertive.
The lawyer says he didn't even send a Christmas present to his family this year, Bryant Gumbel. Bryant, he says, should not be as low as his ratings. Gumbel now lives with his girlfriend, Hillary Quinlan. The lawyer says, Bryant's lawyer, says that June's lawyer's comments are full of beans and tasteless to boot.
Full of beans.
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 Full and tasteless to boot.
They're just full of beans. That's BS. Bryant is great. How are you, brother? That's full of beans. I heard that account. It's full of beans.
Oh, how are you, Gregory? I'm a serial adulterer. Yeah, Gregory, good luck to you.
Full of beans.
Full of beans. Musical fruit.
Hold on.
Buzz, now let's do a timeout.
We will be
right back. He's the Dawn and Mike Show.
Do you realize how many guys I've coached against that either played for me or coached for me? I mean, goddamn, I'd be an emotional wreck if I had emotions for every goddamn guy that I coach against that's played or coached or whatever. I mean, hell, I've had Jimmy Cruz. And goddamn, Jimmy played for me, was a great player, and coached for me for about 8 years. I should have gone to Denver and said, okay, goddamn, I should have been just emotionally drained for Christ's sake. Goddamn.
That man works for a major university.
Almost 6 o'clock now, local time, if you're hearing us in Lafayette, Louisiana, on AM 1330 and FM 105.9, KVOL, Lafayette, Louisiana.
Bill? Bill? It's the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. As you may have heard, Thomas Jefferson had his way with one of his slaves. But now, even the folks at Monticello admit it. The Jefferson Memorial Foundation fought this concept for the longest time. But the descendants of that slave persevered. And now DNA tests show that someone in Jefferson's family fathered 6 kids by Sally Hemings.
Honey, give me the biggest fish you got.
And the historical evidence suggests that most likely the father is Thomas Jefferson, our third president.
They got a movie coming out about that.
Nothing wrong with that, a hot interracial love.
I'm not a great historian. I don't even know if he was married at the time. I guess he probably was.
I don't think he was.
So he was a bachelor.
Is he related to George?
George Jefferson?
George Jefferson. Well, you know, George and Wheezy and Lino?
I didn't before, but now I guess anything's possible.
Yeah, they got a big, another big... Well, didn't Nick Nolte do a TV movie about Jefferson?
Yep. Jefferson in Paris.
Right.
That's awful. I've never seen it, but it's on HBO like every week.
There's only one thing I want. I want the hot interracial love. You gotta believe it. Give me some hot interracial love.
You think he's related to Roy?
Roy Jefferson.
Roy Jefferson used to be a receiver with the Redskins.
We'd have to check. What do you do when the large black bouncers you employ outside your South Beach nightclub tell you that John Rocker is at the door?
You tell them to beat the crap out of them.
Or you tell them to seat him and his 2 buddies in the VIP room. And then you assign to that room a Chinese waitress, an African-American busboy, and an Hispanic bartender.
Well, I got it. You set a trap for him.
It happened at Miami's Chaos Club, according to the New York Post. Rocker.
Hey, that sounds like Lappy Happenstance, Buzz. And then
everybody pees in his drink. I don't know what happened, and apparently he was pleased with the service. Rocker, who was in town for a charity game, for his $1,000 restaurant tab, left a $400 tip.
I think he'd just chill. You know?
Do you think he'd just lay low for a while?
Get room service.
Stay home, order in.
Like Marv Albert used to do.
It's a dark day at Burger King now that another child has suffocated on its Pokemon container. The feds say Burger King was slow to recall the toys last month when the first child died. The container in question is a 3-inch ball that comes apart in both tragedies. Half the ball got wedged over the child's nose and mouth. The balls were labeled recommended for all ages. Things are not that grim.
I'm sure I've got a few of those in my house.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
Wow.
Things are not that grim at McDonald's, though. However, Mickey D's does have a problem of its own in Minnesota. In the Twin Cities suburb of Bloomington, several customers at McDonald's were served those famous French fries.
Yes.
With human blood on them.
Oh, really?
That's great news.
That's not ketchup.
It will fascinate you.
That's great news only because those bastards at McDonald's refuse to advertise on this show, like there's something wrong with
right.
this show.
I don't get it. The blood on the french fries was from an employee who had cut his hand.
Oh, my.
The health department says the fast food place claims the employee stopped making the fries the minute he realized he was bleeding on them.
Would you like those fries with some AIDS blood on them?
Well, that was apparently good enough for the health inspectors who say McDonald's will not be fined because it handled the incident properly.
Wait.
Because they're the big corporate giants.
Wait.
That's why.
A guy gets his blood on french fries and they don't get in trouble?
Serves to several customers.
But meanwhile, you spill hot coffee in your lap, you get $2 million.
Well, that's a civil court. That's the difference. McDonald's says this was an isolated situation and that it's working to ensure full safety for its customers.
You know, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't call the SOPs. I wouldn't do it. I would be so mad, I'd want to go in there and find the guy. I mean, that would be awful. You imagine that? You see, this is human blood.
These french fries.
Oh, God.
Why didn't I taste that before?
Do you want ranch, honey barbecue, or copper?
Well, this weekend it's Super Bowl 34, or as they like to put on the sweatshirt, Super Bowl XXXIV.
You know, I wonder when they're going to stop doing that. Why don't they just put a number by it, or why do they even have to have a number?
That is the question.
You know, when the World Series happens every year, they don't say it's the 105th. Right. It's the World Series.
Yeah, the Super Bowl, the World Series.
The NBA Finals. It's the Stanley Cup. Make it the goddamn Super Bowl.
Yeah, nobody and remembers the numbers anyway.
The goddamn Super Bowl.
And I hope the color schemes are a little better on the souvenirs this year.
Just, to, you know, I really, a little less teal.
I think they're red, white, and blue.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the year 2000.
All right, very good. Well, the Roman numeral bit started in Super Bowl V as a marketing gimmick, but a sports marketing professor at the University of Oregon says it's gotten out of hand. He points out that Super Bowl 38 would be XXXVIII if we let this continue. He says you can't even get all that on a blimp. And by the way, libraries are having to turn off their internet smut filters now. Otherwise, you can't look up anything that has three X's in it, like Super Bowl XXIV.
That's good.
That's good.
And what kind of knucklehead, and this is the first question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
What?
A 24-year-old Brian Fodera of Brooklyn is just that kind of knucklehead.
Knucklehead.
And he proved it to 33 million people. He's only the second guy ever to miss the first question.
What was the question?
The question for $100 was, what did little Jack Horner pull from a pie? Ribbon?
Pubic hair.
Plum? Blackbird,
blood.
Or little Jill Horner. Brian said Blackbird. The good news for Brian is that he's already won nearly $1,000 from DJs who have called him to ask him easier questions.
You, sir, are an idiot.
Hi, Larry. Hey, how you doing?
Those disc jockeys are stupid, too.
Hey, I'll tell you what. What's the colors of the American flag?
Right.
I say we're going to give you $500 because we have a heart of gold here on the Breakfast Flakes morning show.
Fantastic.
Great bit, Dixon. Thank you, Mason. Let's go to Captain Crunch. Shop the other tragic shopper. Here, that guy had some tough luck, but we made his day better with $500.
Yeah, thanks for joining us this morning at the Breakfast Place, your feel-good place.
And by the way, the name of the high school where Brian graduated, Regis High School in Brooklyn.
Hi there. Hear your morning announcement? All righty, and I'll let you all know that at lunch we're having Harvest Crisps again.
I can't stop eating them. Oh, man, how would you like to have been one of the sheriff's deputies in Detroit who arrested this guy?
Who?
The 36-year-old man was being hauled off to jail when suddenly he broke his handcuffs and used a sharp edge from them to slice open his abdomen. And then he tried to pull out his own internal organs.
Oh, my God.
And then he tried to throw his internal organs at the police.
Well, you know, give the guy credit for ingenuity.
Sure. The deputies say it took 7 men to subdue this guy and put him on a stretcher with the guy's gut spraying blood at them the whole time.
Here's one of the deputies now.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Yeah, he didn't have a chance of overpowering that guy himself.
Deputy Barney Fife. The man is facing a long list of charges, but that may not matter if he's found mentally unfit to stand trial.
Well, he's mentally unfit. Didn't like the handcuffs.
What if you kicked yourself for not buying Microsoft or AOL stock? You can now kick yourself for not betting on the Rams for the Super Bowl before the season began. Bettors could get 200-1 odds on the Rams going all the way. The latest Vegas line makes St. Louis a 7-point favorite over the Tennessee Titans.
This is the end of the Don and Mike.
Yeah, I really do. But there's no way I've
put in 8 hours of prep a day for this show.
Sure.
I sit down for about an hour in the morning. I write myself notes all day long. And I plan a little outline for what we're going to do. What I hate is when a disc jockey tries to make it like he does more work off the air than on the air. This is a disc jockey magazine called The Mouth.
This is so funny. This is just, it's so funny because you can just see him concocting this.
This is a magazine for disc jockeys where they, first off, they give you bid ideas.
Okay. Right?
Like, here's a good one. It says, The Weather Kid. Every morning show should have a kid who wants to do the weather. We record a couple of short versions of the weather with a kid doing the forecast. Kids love hearing kids. And then there's the ages of women versus the ages of men. This is supposed to be a phone starter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Between the ages of 13 and 18, she's like Africa, unexplored. Between 19 and 35, she's like Asia. Exotic. Oh, there's your keys, Mike.
Rob. Such a dink.
Between 36 and 45, she's like America. Fully explored, beautiful, and free with her resources. After 58, she's like Australia. Everyone knows it's down there, but who gives a damn?
Oh, my God, please.
Okay, these are supposed to be good phone starters.
They should get people talking, man.
Okay, let me see. Then they have top 10 lists.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, disc jockeys love top 10 lists.
Right.
Top 10 signs you've been out of college too long. When you keep more beer than, I'm sorry, when you keep more food than beer in your refrigerator.
Oh, man.
When you hear your favorite song in the elevator to work. When you go from 130 days of vacation time to 7.
How tired and bad is this?
Then you have the top 10 podiatrist complaints.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Top 10 podiatrist complaints. Running out of odor eaters. Patients who say my jokes are too corny.
Yeah, these are put in these. It's like any one of these publications, anytime they try to assist you, nobody gives anything good away, okay?
Right.
And that's the classic example of these crappy things.
And then finally they have like a Karnak feature,
okay?
The answer is teacup. What does Ice T wear when he plays baseball?
See, they're not going to give you anything really funny. They won't, because the real funny stuff, if anybody comes up with anything that's really good,
they keep it to themselves.
Of course they do.
Shrink wrap is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
The question, what would you have if Coolio became a psychiatrist?
Oh, man.
The answer, Coolio. The question, what do you call a chili Lenny DiCaprio? Coolio.
Oh, my God.
The answer, the thin red line. The question, what would you see if Calista Flockhart wore all red?
Oh, these are so...
Right, these are awful,
they're
right?
They're angering me.
Okay.
My God.
You get past that, and then you get to where they have an interview with disc jockeys.
Okay,
look, they make it like it's a real goddamn interview, okay? The interview with WFLZ's MJ and BJ. Okay, so they're talking about how great they are. Mm-hmm. And then you get back to, okay, here's some of the questions. Would you call your show irreverent?
I think it is at times. But we don't go out of our way to be shock jocks. We're warm and fuzzy.
Does the term shock jock bother you?
It's massively overused. It's become part of the vernacular when you talk about morning radio. It's so easy to slap the term shock jock on. It doesn't bother me. I think it's a ludicrous name.
When do you get to the station?
Our show starts at 5:30. I arrive at 3:30.
Okay, so now the guy's...
That's not true.
The guy's saying that he gets to the radio station at 3:30 in the morning.
3:30. I'm sorry. I guarantee you that's not true.
Before you go on the air, what's your prep plan for the show?
Well, basically, my prep work begins at 3 in the afternoon, and I go till 11 o'clock at night.
Okay, so let's do the math here. He goes from 3 in the afternoon to 11 o'clock at night, and he gets to the station, arrives at the station at 3:30.
I have a large satellite system in my house, and I start by watching all the tabloid shows as they feed to the affiliates around the country.
Yeah, because I'm so plugged in.
Then I plug into, obviously, the local news block from 4 till 7 p.m. Watch every single news block. Then after that, I hop on the internet, and I have 50 to 80 sites I hit every day. And so
such a bunch of crap. It's 100% bull crap. I guarantee it is. Wait, and I guarantee you could go down to Tampa and listen to this guy's show, and it would sound just like every other disc jockey show that has in the morning after his name.
Hey, let me tell you something. Here's something that I got on website number 73. This is a fantastic, a little interesting thing after I watched my block of news. Boy, am I tired, because I arrived at the station at 3:30. Of course, I worked for 8 hours on the show yesterday, so I am a little beat. You pardon me. I am just a tad sleep deprived. Radio.
And this is the kind of crap that we put up with, like when the consultant calls Jeremy.
Sure.
Says he can't understand how anybody could listen to the show, because we spent a half hour talking about how bad the equipment is. Right?
Because it might be a shock to some of you, we simply don't play the game.
Right.
Happened for quite some time.
You know, we happen to think that our listeners are bright enough that they get it. But everybody can relate to working at a crappy place.
Mm-hmm.
Working with crappy equipment, crappy surroundings, crappy bosses.
That's right.
Crappy people.
But if that consultant was here sitting across, we'd say to him, well, usually between 3 and 11 in the afternoon, and then when we arrive at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Let me see. Hey, here's a good bit. This is a bit that MJ and BJ have supplied to the magazine.
Oh, you know it's got to be good if they gave it to the magazine.
Some jokes. Here's some one-liners that they've written. Betty DeGeneres, Ellen's mom, has a new book out called Love, Ellen. Kind of a lackluster title, but I don't blame her. Raging Bull was already taken. Yeah, baby! Dan Quayle has lashed out against the White House's current policy on China. He thinks it's wasteful, and we could save a lot of money by using paper plates instead.
Oh, that's painful stuff.
Hmm. O.J. Simpson's in the news. He shot a TV commercial for a lawyer referral service. It was a tense environment for the crew, especially when the director yelled, "Cut!"
Oh, God. So, but they used that last week. And timely is today's headline.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
Oh, listen, I could go on with this, man. There's tons in here.
Those are the gems you come up with when you come in at 3:30.
Hey, how about Martha Stewart's tips for rednecks?
Super!
A centerpiece for the table should never be anything prepared by a taxidermist. Be aggressive. Let her know you're interested. I've been wanting to go out with you since I read that stuff on the bathroom wall 2 years ago. And, of course, do not lay rubber when traveling in a funeral procession.
It sounds like these are also disc jockeys that have the mistaken impression that they're also comedians, which is really a big, big mistake.
And I'll tell you why this is bad. Because disc jockeys are generally lazy, myself included. There's not a disc jockey on the planet that does 8 hours of prep. What your average disc jockey does is subscribe to this bull crap magazine.
Right.
And then he thinks, you know what? Because I got these jokes, I don't have to prep my show.
Absolutely.
I'll just go in tomorrow morning and read, hey, I got some ideas for the show today. Let's have a weather kid. And then I want to get a phone starter with the ages of women versus the ages of men. And don't forget, Joke's dyslexic coming up. You know, teacup. What does iced tea wear when he plays baseball?
Just beware of disc jockeys who have the mistaken impression that they're comedians or musicians. They're neither. Right. And they shouldn't try to be.
And then there's a whole page of phone starters for disc jockeys who can't figure out anything to talk about.
Super duper!
Does anyone have a story that nobody ever believes? Hey, our lines are open this morning. Hey, good morning. Have you ever done anything cowardly that you've always regretted? This would be a good time to phone the morning zoo. Which would you rather have? A high IQ or good looks?
Listen, if you can't make it through on the show, give us a call in the office from 3 to 11.
Listen, our lines are open. We're looking for weird things you've seen your neighbors do. Things that make you nervous. Who's got the worst hair in Hollywood? Hey, what's some strange things you've written off as tax deductions? And you can solicit for CPAs to call also.
Disc jockeys all over America taking magic markers to index cards, transcribing those valuable bits.
Hey, what could you do as a kid that you can't do anymore? I'll give you some examples like cartwheels, touch your toes, stay up real late. Hey, give us a call right now. We're ready for your input. Hey, here's one for you. What's some things you want to do but your husband or wife just won't let you do?
got the whole page of this magazine, Phone Starters.
That will get a lot of people to call. Everybody's got those.
God damn it.
Fantastic. And, of course, they give you the free copy of that magazine, and then they will, at a later date, ask you for the subscription.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and here's the top 10 signs that spring has arrived.
What are they, Don?
Dennis Rodman has started shopping for his Easter dress. Paula Jones rolls her house into the shade.
Feeling nauseous.
And, of course, New York City starts to smell like urine again.
Super duper.
Oh, my God.
There it is.
Well, you get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the idea what we're talking about.
Radio, radio, what would life be without it?
Right. You know, and this is what the business is like. And some consultant has the balls to call Jeremy and say he's at the airport and he heard our show and he doesn't understand how we have any ratings.
Right. Very nice of him to do that.
Thank
we sincerely
you.
Appreciate that.
Thanks. I wipe my bum with this magazine, okay?
Absolutely.
And all of your stupid radio ideas.
And the consultants. The failed program directors. You know you have
correct.
To work, you have to work really hard to fail as a program director.
Right. I don't want to say that guy's name either.
But you know who it is, Mike. It's the one we know?
Yeah, it's the one we know.
Really?
Yeah, it's the one we know.
Really?
It's the guy who takes credit for, you know, thinking up our whole show.
Oh, fantastic.
It's him. Or I take it back. It's a guy that works in his office.
Ah.
A guy who's like his second in command now.
Super duper.
His Will Riker, if you will.
Very exciting.